Hey, welcome to the film podcast. Yes. I always say, hey, I got it right this time. But it's true, it's because I mess up each time. I mess up the title of my own podcast.
And the audience never gets to hear
it. Yeah, sorry. I should leave it.
They never get to see behind the curtain with their ears.
I know. As always, I am Ricardo. I haven't changed who I am. Just so you want everybody to know.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah.
I'm Jenny.
I'm Adam Scott.
And I'm Kevin.
And today we have a cool guest. We have Natalie Morales from the NBC show.
No.
No. That happens all the time.
Ruined it. Oh, I'm leaving.
No.
This is terrible.
No.
I have been on an NBC show or two.
Yes.
But not the TV
How
show.
How much do you hate that?
A lot.
Okay. So we have Natalie Morales.
It's pretty terrible. I'm an actor, not a journalist.
Yes.
It just happened to me at an audition on Friday.
Really?
Where I did the entire scene and the director was like, so you normally just do like journalism? are you just getting into acting? And I was like, is that an insult?
Yeah.
Or is she complimenting me like, wow, you were so good? Are you just getting into this? Or you're just getting into this?
I can tell.
Yeah.
So
still haven't gotten the part, so.
Wow.
Who knows?
So to clarify that, if you're going to Wikipedia her, Natalie Morales is actress.
Yes.
Not, yeah.
Indeed.
So I was reading one of your tweets and they asked you to give up your Twitter handle, right?
Yeah.
How was that? How did that go about?
Yeah. Some manager from the, Today Show, I guess he's like the, I don't know, some title in the NBC media department.
Mm-hmm.
Was like, hey, would you mind, following me back so I can DM you? And the other Natalie Morales and I have been like sort of conspiring to do something with this weird thing.
Yeah.
It always makes me think of like there's nothing you can really do. We just have the same name.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It always makes me think of like Joey on Friends having the hand twin. Like there's nothing you can really do with it. But so anyway, we were like, let's do something for April Fools or what are we going to do? So I thought this guy was contacting me for that. And I was like, yeah, sure. And he sent me a DM and he was like, would you mind giving up your name so the other Natalie Morales can have it? And I was like, no. Didn't you have to DM me for that, so asshole.
So you could be Natalie Morales 1?
Yeah. Fuck off. I was here first. What's your problem?
Yeah.
And then the other Natalie Morales messaged me and was like, I hope you know I had nothing to do with that. I was just those people. I was like, I knew it wouldn't be you, Natalie.
or it'd be like the real Natalie Morales.
Yeah.
So.
I should have, what a bunch of people on Twitter told me to do after that happened is I should have just gone out and claimed all those like official Natalie Morales, real Natalie Morales.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Natalie Morales. Yeah. I just don't have time for that, but I should have done it.
I have a lot of time. I could do that for you.
Go ahead.
Spend a lot of time.
Have fun. Have fun of people bitching at you because of something you didn't say on the news. So. Are people complimenting you in your pantyhose, which I get a lot.
Do you go with it? Like,
sometimes I do. I've gone through waves of. I should compile all the things. I've gone through waves of like retweets of. Sometimes I get really irate on just because it's funny to be like. Like, no, it's not me! And then other times I'm just like, thank you. I did think my pantyhose this morning were very nice.
You're like, I forgot I was wearing them.
Exactly.
That's how awesome they were.
Yeah.
So let's get to know you a little bit. You were born in Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's weird. Why do you know that?
Well, there's a thing called Wikipedia.
Oh, God. How does Wikipedia know that?
That's what I was going to ask you. Like, how does Wikipedia know a lot about you? They
know
a lot about your. I was like, wait a minute.
What are the references on there? I guess interviews, maybe.
Maybe. So you're born in Florida.
I was born in Miami.
Miami.
Mm-hmm.
How do you like that?
Like that.
It's Florida, so that's why I'm asking.
Yeah, it's Florida.
Okay.
Florida, all right. Let's just put it this way. Anytime you hear something horrible or really weird happen on
it's
the
Florida.
News, it's always in Florida.
Yeah.
And for a reason. I was there. I know. It's always weird. And it's kind of terrible. I mean, I have a certain amount of pride for my hometown.
Yeah.
A tiny bit. There's a lot of great things about Miami, but there's a lot of terrible things about Miami, too.
So your family's still there right now?
Yep.
So you have to visit?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I gotta go back.
I don't know if we have any listeners in Miami, so
now we don't.
Well,
thanks a lot.
Well, if you do, feel free to comment and bitch at me. And the other Natalie Morales, the one on the Today Show.
Well, when you're doing an interview, you should give out her Twitter just so they bitch at her. Like they're like, you were talking shit about Miami, and I don't like that. Okay,
yeah.
And they're like, and she's like, what are you talking about?
Ugh. Yeah.
And I don't like that you weren't wearing pantyhose. So then you went to Catholic school?
Well, that's crazy. Does he really know that too?
Yeah, I know that. And oh so God. Was it, my question, was it an all-girls Catholic
so
school?
That's so scary. No, sorry. And those are
so
not,
all my questions
but
are
gone. I did know a lot of girls that, I did know a lot of girls that went to all Catholic, to all-girls schools, and they're not, I'm sorry to disappoint you guys, they're not a dream. Like, no one shaves their legs ever, because what's the point?
I guess
that's true. Yeah.
I guess it's kind of better. Like, if I was a girl.
It's pretty gross. Yeah. It's a pretty gross environment.
Don't wash your hair at all.
Yeah, why? Like, what's the point?
That sounds like a series right there. The truth about parochial school. Yeah. All girls Catholic school.
Yeah.
Exposed.
So, when do you move out of Florida?
I moved out when I was 20.
And you moved to LA?
Mm-hmm.
And what made you, was it acting that made you decide to move? Or
yeah, I think anything would have made me want to get the fuck out of there. But to come to LA specifically, I mean, if you want to act, you kind of have to be here. I mean, people say LA and New York, but
You always end up in LA.
Just now, have there been more things shooting in New York? When I first moved out here, it was like, I don't know, Law and Order, and that's it. Or, you know, like one or two things, and everyone ends up coming out here anyway. And even now that there's more stuff going out in New York, people come out here for pilot season or whatever. Oh, so you kind of have to be here. I don't hate it here. I like it. It's nice.
No.
I mean, if I could live anywhere in the world, I'd probably live, you know, I don't know, in Italy or something, or Montana, but...
You wouldn't live in L.A.? Jeez.
You said Montana. Why Montana? I always say that.
Montana's incredible.
Have you been?
It's beautiful.
My dream is to buy a missile silo and just live in a like defunct missile silo.
Yeah?
I've always talked about
that. It's so beautiful there.
Yeah.
It's weird.
I've never been, though.
You move to big sky country and live somewhere where you can't see the sky.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's weird.
That is weird.
So what got you into acting? Like, was it high school?
Yeah. I was, when I went to Catholic school, I only went from... like kindergarten to eighth grade. And then I went to public high school because I wanted to sit next to a black kid for once in my life. So I went to this public school where I didn't know anybody. And I decided to take some summer school classes before the regular school year started so that I would make some friends before like all the chaos went off. So I was like, I sat there. You can only take two classes. And I sat in like the office of the thing. And she's like, okay, pick from these like elective courses. Because thankfully, no remedial at that point in time. Not later. and so I was like, all right, I'll do guitar because I know how to do that. And I'll do photography because I've always liked it. And she was like, oh, sorry, one girl just took the last photography spot. And I was like, okay, I guess.
And her name was Natalie Morales.
I was like, okay, I guess drama. And then I took a class that summer and met a bunch of really amazing people who were, a lot of them are still my very good friends and totally changed my life. I mean, the first time I got up on stage, my skirt fell off, which got rid of any kind of stage fright I could ever have because that's your ultimate nightmare is to be naked on stage when it happened. So after that, it was home free.
But what do you do to recover from that? Was it a performance?
It was a performance. Wow. Oh, yeah. It was we had to do these, we were learning accents, and we had to do these commercials in different accents. So we had to produce a commercial, we were learning a Southern accent, and I was doing a commercial I made up this commercial for breast augmentation, and I was Britney Spears, and I had like a Catholic schoolgirl outfit on because I already had all the clothes, and I was like, "Hi, my name is Britney Spears," and then my skirt just popped off on stage,
and everyone
was like, "Yes, I will buy this."
That's really method.
No, I just stood there, and I had just turned. I was ninth grade, so I just turned 14 or something, and my sister was like, You're a woman now. Here's like for your birthday are some like thongs, and I was like, thongs, and I was wearing this white mesh see-through thong, and I had just gotten these, and I was standing there on stage, and like that class was in the auditorium, okay, and they also held like what do they call suspension? But when you go to school anyway,
detention. You mean
no. ISS? It's during school hours, school I guess. Yeah, it's something like that. You go to it's like detention, but it's all day in school.
Oh, I've done that.
Real good for learning.
Yeah.
And
you basically
yeah.
go to school and do nothing.
Yeah,
that's your punishment.
They held that in the back, of the auditorium along with my class, which was which happened to be all seniors because I was in another acting class. And then that same day, I'll never forget this, the senior class of world history that was basically all the entire football team, their air conditioning broke in their room, so they were in the auditorium as well. So that happened in front of like 200 people probably. Yeah, and everyone died laughing just on the floor in the aisles of the auditorium. And my like friend Chris came up with his jacket and just escorted me on stage.
So no, you couldn't like put it back on. Like
a button snapped. It was like a snap, like a snap
one of those side like skirt. Yeah,
just snapped. Oh, so no. I was. So yeah, that's why I'm an actor.
So I guess after that, there's nothing you really fear.
Yeah, nothing at all. Like, you're like, well, whatever. Yeah,
I'll do it.
The worst happened the first time, so at that point, why not?
So you move out here, and do you know anybody out here, or you just kind of you're out here?
Well, luckily, I dragged two friends along with me, and within like 5 months, that became five friends, and then within a year, it became like eight friends, like. Everyone hates Miami, so I got them all out.
That's really cool.
As I have like a big group of friends that are a lot from there, and then I just met people out here because I'm a sociable.
Yeah, yeah. Person. Jenny moved out here too, and all her friends are not here now. Here, so
yeah, it was like me at first, and two people, and then gradually now there's like 12 of us out here.
I know,
all from college. From where? I'm from Georgia. It's so crazy.
Everyone we're like all the way across.
It's ridiculous. No, yeah.
Is it weird for you guys to like that it's the same group but in a different setting?
Yes. No, for me it's not. Yeah.
No, for it's really wasn't? Not at
no,
all.
No, because the people that, except for like three of them that are from high school, the rest of them were from college, and I was only in college for like a year or two. So I didn't hang out with them a ton like for years and years there. Yeah. So most of our lives have been here.
In LA.
Yeah.
So how long are you out of here till like you get your agent and like you get your stuff in order?
I got a manager, I think, within a year, and that was really lucky. He's like one of my best friends, and
he's still
that's,
your manager?
Yeah, and that's super lucky too. Like, there's a lot of shady, horrible people in this business. Yeah. That
I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. No.
It's really bad. And I got really, really, really lucky with someone who actually knew what they were doing, and not only knew what they were doing, but knew what I want to do, and like connected with me in a way that was like, oh, you're a Latin girl that wants to do comedy. Cool. You're not Sofia Vergara. Got it. Not going to try to pigeonhole you constantly.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's hard to convince people of that. And people want to always, you know,
they want to fit you where they think you should go.
Exactly.
But I think that's the biggest complaint I hear from a lot of actors is that, like, you sign with an agent, but you really don't know, they don't know you personally, so they don't know your personality and what, you know, that you're the quirky person or you're the, you know, you're the best friend or whatever you are. And they kind of send you on the wrong for the wrong roles, and sometimes you don't book anything because that's not you.
Even like, you know, I don't mind doing most things. I'm not really down to like play a maid ever, unless it's like an incredible role. But I don't care about what, like, I don't care about being a stereo. There's three Latina roles. That's it. There's three Latin girl roles. It's the maid, it's the tough like New Yorker, or the tough like LA girl who's like a chola, which are the same thing. And then there's the sexy like, you know, Sofia Vergara type. Yeah. That's it. I don't fit into any of those, really. And if I can maybe act the part, I don't mind that, but they're usually not written well. They're usually written very stereotypically. And it sucks most of the time. But.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't physically fit into the Sofia Vergara part in the least. So
speaking of stereotypes, a friend once called me and he was like, "Hey, so we're having a bachelor party, and I was wondering if you now don't get offended here, get us some cocaine." And I'm like, "What?"
Because you just look like the type that would know how to party.
Like, because I'm Hispanic, I know where. I mean, yes, granted, I can get you, but I'm still offended. Okay.
Yeah, that would offend me too. Yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah.
But it's like, I don't want to offend you, but can you procure some cocaine? But yeah. So when do you start like getting the roles you kind of want, the good roles?
I got really, really lucky. I did some commercials starting out, and then I did like my first big thing was an episode of CSI Miami.
Ooh, that shot in LA.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, hey, my family was like, "You get to come on." I was like, "No, choosing Long Beach." thank God. And then I got this show called The Middleman, which is this weird
like ABC
little,
Family show, right?
Yeah, although I wouldn't necessarily categorize it as that based on their other shows.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember like, watching it. It doesn't seem like a very...
No.
It's not a very family show.
Not at all. Some of the jokes. It's a lot of drugs and sex.
Yeah,
wow.
And it's basically, if I were to describe it, it's 30 Rock meets Men in Black, and I would be Will Smith / Latina Fey.
Oh, Latina Fey.
Yeah, it's just a very weird sci-fi comedy that is... really great in my opinion, and I had so much fun doing that, and it was so out there, and like it's campy, but I mean I guess it would be like people refer to it often as the American Doctor Who. It's not, it doesn't take itself as seriously as Doctor Who, but it's similar, it's in a similar vein. You know, there's a little bit of silliness currently with, I think, the Matt Smith Doctor Who. Am I getting really nerdy here? The Matt Smith
Doctor
Who.
We're gonna get to that.
The Matt Smith Doctor Who is a little sillier than they have been in the past. I mean, I guess Tom Baker was a little silly, but yeah, it's kind of like that, I would say. And I had such, like, I mean, the stuff I got to do on that show was so insane and a blast. So that was the point where I was like, awesome. And then it was all downhill from there. No. I've gotten to do a few great stuff. Like, I was on Parks and Rec, which I loved, and
you
and the
Tom's,
newsroom.
Tom's girlfriend.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
How was that? Now,
it was great.
Everybody must ask you this, but I'll ask it again. How much of that? All that is written, right? Like, there's nothing really.
They usually do, like, everybody does the written thing, and then they're like, all right, we'll do a take where you just goof off. So people, depending on their comfortability, they do, they go off script or whatever, but it's all written. The writers are amazing. Like, why would you ever want to do something that's not written?
Yeah, like I once got to read like an office script, and everything, every look, every like turn, everything was written out. Like the talking head part of it, everything was written.
Yeah, that's all
really
written,
interesting. Yeah, and now you're still recurring on that, isn't that? Like you still.
Yeah, they wanted to bring me back last season, and I was doing the newsroom, so I couldn't. So they wrote me out. I guess I don't know.
In the newsroom, that shoots in New York, right?
No, it shoots here.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I did not know that.
Stevie Magic.
I know. It
feels like something like that is actually shot in New York.
Well, the crazy thing is I did a scene where I was in the on a balcony that faced out to Times Square, and I was like, this is going to look like shit. This is terrible. I was standing in front of a green screen and, like, you know, crying in front of a green screen. It was just really weird, and I sympathize with, like, anybody that was on Spider-Man because, like, it was just, I don't know. I was like, and then it looked amazing in the real, I don't know what they did. It looked so good. It totally is believable as New York. I mean, they've done some exteriors in New York, but they shoot here. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's a show that really, really, it feels like it's in New York. I didn't know it was LA.
Sunset Gower.
Wow. Is that the only thing you've done, like, with green screen, or have you done more stuff?
No, Middleman had a few. Anytime you got aliens.
I feel like
you got a green screen.
I feel like that's the hardest thing to do because it's like, okay, and there's a giant dinosaur. Coming at you.
Yeah, it is super hard, I can imagine. Yeah. I mean, that one was the hardest only because it was so... it was so fake, and yet the emotions were like, it was like a very dramatic emotional scene that I had to do, like while a fan is blowing in my face for wind, and there's a green screen and a bunch of crew like standing there, and I'm supposed to be like looking out into the city, you know, but yeah, it worked. It looked really good. I was shocked by it.
Very cool. How was that experience? Did you get to
great? Really, really great. Everyone on that show is awesome. Yeah. Like, all the actors are awesome. The crew's awesome. Aaron Sorkin's awesome. Like, Jeff Daniels is incredible. Everybody's really... Emily Mortimer's the nicest human being on the planet.
I bet. She seems so nice.
She is great.
We just went to the Paley Center Q&A for Newsroom.
It was really
cool, yeah. And then you did Wall Street Never Sleeps.
I did.
Wall Street Never Sleeps. Money Never Sleeps.
The worst title of all time, yeah.
Like they're like, how can we make it? How can we incorporate snakes on a plane? No, we can't. So we'll just go. Money Never Sleeps.
Yeah.
Did you? So how was Oliver Stone? I had to ask.
Crazy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Somebody,
crazy, but
finally somebody says it.
No. Yeah. Well, I mean, everyone says that.
People go, Oliver's Oliver. So.
But that means he's crazy. I mean. Yeah. We had an interesting relationship. I kind of was like, hey, you're crazy. And he was like, yeah. And that was pretty much it. Like, he didn't mess with me too much, which I appreciated. But, I mean, he knows what he's doing, I guess, you know? And he had a good time. And I'm certainly super happy about the fact that he considered casting me at all, you know, and
how was that process like? How did you, was that casting director and then?
No, I knew the casting director. That was in New York. When I was in New York, I shot. It was really weird. I lived in New York for a year, non-intentionally. I shot a TV show, a season of a TV show there, and then I shot three movies back to back. Like, and it just kept me in New York for a year, which is awesome, and the way you want to be in New York when you're working. And then I went into this casting director's office, and he was there. And it was really strange because he was looking, it was like a very small room, and he was looking at a very small TV that had me projected on it, but I was right in front of him. So he wasn't looking at me, he was looking at how I looked on this small screen, which I guess is smart. I don't know, I guess you want to see what someone looks like on screen instead of in person. But it was also very distracting because I was acting in his direction and he wasn't looking at me, which is very strange. And I could, like, see myself on the TV over here as I was doing it. But, yeah, I got it. I don't know.
Very cool.
Yeah. Shia was really cool, too. It was all really great. Yeah. And then we had, like, rehearsals, which I've never really had for a movie, like 3 months ahead of time. It's really crazy. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Oh, was that, like, intense? How many weeks of that or days was that?
I wasn't in a lot in that movie, so it wasn't a ton for me. I think I was there for like a week for rehearsals, but I think Shia was there for a while. And what was really impressive about him, I mean, I thought he was just, at the time I was just like, this is like, you know, any other actor, young actor who's getting big parts. But that guy takes everything very seriously and is like the real deal. He had the entire script memorized. He was like, scene 19, let's go.
Wow.
The whole thing. Like, it was really crazy. And he was very, very good. Like, he was great in that movie. That guy's been doing it for so long. Like I just said earlier, I was telling these guys earlier, I just, Marathon Freaks and Geeks, he was in an episode of that. He was super little. Yeah. Like, he's been doing it forever. And
Freaks and Geeks has, like, everybody. Who's, like, really blowing
everyone
up now.
Everyone ever,
like,
yeah.
Ben Foster's in that. Like,
everyone ever, yeah.
Every. And now, that's funny, everyone kind of shits on Shia LaBeouf, but I've always been a fan. Yeah.
Yeah.
I watch Even Stevens.
I like him. he was really cool, really nice and very cool guy.
Very cool. Now, you were, were you in the pilot for the Chelsea Lately show?
Yeah.
Can we talk about that?
It's canceled now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The pilot was a lot of fun. It was the first time I had ever done anything multicam, which when they say multicam, it usually means in front of an audience, which for me, coming from a theater background and from a sketch background, was a lot of fun because you just get to, like, be a ham on stage and the audience laughs and it's really fun. And you just, that's really great. The pilot itself, I never really dug.
Yeah.
And I was like, let's see if it gets better. And there was the day before we shot it, there the cut of it was amazing and super dirty and really, really great. And the network was like, no. And then it got horrible. And I had to say these horrible lines. And then they cut me, a black girl, and a Korean guy and replaced us all with one Thai girl. So we're like, too much ethnicity.
Yeah,
let's just blend it all and make one brown girl.
It's funny. That's what I had read, that the original one was a lot raunchier and like her personality. And then they kind of
washed. I don't know. I mean, it was kind of a nightmare.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a lot of fun doing it because of that. But the script changes were crazy and massive. And yeah.
Now, what do you like doing better? Do you like being, you know, in one character for a while and recurring on shows?
Sorry, I hit the mic with a beer bottle.
That's all right. And you're really,
well, as long as you
that,
didn't
I don't like
break
that.
It over and stab it, we're good to go.
Or do you like, you know, the fact that you can do a movie, then do a couple months, and then you're out and do the next thing?
Both are ideally good. Movies generally don't pay as well as TV.
Yeah.
Unless you're, you know, Angelina Jolie or something, it's not going to pay you very well. But they're super fun to do, you know? I would love to be on a show I really, really liked and be on it for a few years. Like, that would be awesome. Because in the summers, you can always do movies. You can always do, not necessarily in the summer, in the hiatus, you can always do something else. So I just like working. And I really like to work. It doesn't really matter what it is, as long as it's semi-good.
And then, well, what's up with this music video you directed?
I directed a music video. Well, I wrote this script a while ago that I just started shopping around, and I was looking for a director for a long time, and I talked to Peter Serafinowicz for a while about it. Do you guys know who that is?
Yeah.
He's awesome. If you don't know who it is, you should look him up. He's incredible. And he's doing his own movie, so he doesn't really have time to do this right now. So
that let go. And I was like, who am I going to get? And my friend was like, why don't you just do it? It's like, well, I haven't really directed small stuff. I've directed a play and I've directed other things, but not much. And he's like, well, just start directing little things. See how you like it. So then I just was like, let me direct a video for my friend's band. I like how it came out. I think it came out good, and I really enjoyed doing it. So
with the plan of eventually doing
my own movie. I mean, unless I find someone much better, which is very likely, that I may find someone better to direct it. But yeah, I mean, it's tough to sell your own movie.
Well, it's also the fact that like it's not somebody that's better, but somebody that gets what you're trying to say.
Exactly. That's the thing. It's. The movie that I wrote is based on a Buster Keaton movie that's a 1927 silent film, and my movie is basically the exact same movie, only with, like, talking. And today...
It's the Earth in Color.
And today, and I would play Buster Keaton. So that's the role. So it's a very specific sort of Wes Anderson-y weird little film, because it's the exact same film as a silent film. So it's very simple and different. So I need someone to have the same kind of vision that I do, that doesn't want to make it easy A, because it's not that, you know what I mean? Like, that's the other thing. I have to find someone if I find someone that shares that same idea with me and that, you know, is a good director, then that would be fantastic.
Now,
and that would also help me get it made.
I always say I'm a Buster Keaton guy over Chaplin.
Yeah. Well, me too.
Yeah. But some people are like, you can love both. I'm like, yes, but at the end of the day,
but no.
Yeah, no. You have to pick one, and I always go with Buster Keaton.
I think Chaplin is great at some stuff. I just Buster Keaton speaks to me. I like I am so in love with a man that died like 100 years ago. Like I just watch his stuff, and I don't know. It's a weird like soul churning thing. He's so great, and I don't know. There's a crazy, strange connection.
Yeah, and you know, it's so funny is that I used to, as a kid, and even now, I Love Lucy.
Yeah,
love
me too. I Love Lucy. Huge fan of Lucy.
Like,
it's still funny.
Yes.
It's how does that
it's still
hold
relevant.
Up? That's crazy that it holds up. It's still hysterical.
And that's like a dream. I'm like, I want to do a biopic because Ricky was a dick.
Yeah.
But I'm a huge fan of I Love Lucy, and I'm like, what is it about her? Like, her physical comedies, what is it? And then I started like reading biographies, and I'm like, oh yeah, she trained with Buster Keaton.
Yeah.
Got it. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
There, so.
They were friends. They were good friends. Yeah. And she did this. What she did that he did is that she played everything. I mean, she mugged a little bit for the camera, definitely, because you know they would. The end of the commercial break would come and it would zoom into her like rocking the face. But she played everything seriously. So when she was falling, she wasn't laughing about it. It was dead serious. Yeah. She was falling, which is hysterical. Like when you're laughing at your own joke, it's not funny.
Yeah.
So it's just she was great.
That's why it's still airing.
Yeah.
You flip a channel.
It's
and
insane.
It's still playing somewhere.
I always stop it when it's on because it's always funny. Yeah. And that blows my mind that something that old could literally be funny.
Yeah.
Like, I laugh out loud at stuff.
Well, it's funny that you sometimes every time I'm like, I'm flipping through the guide and I'm like, oh, I Love Lucy. Okay, I'm going to flip it there. I always, for a split second, I'm like, I hope it's an episode I've never seen.
Yeah.
And then it's never.
Because you've seen every episode.
I'm like,
yeah.
I've seen every episode. Yeah. Damn it.
There was this one episode that I had never seen and I was shocked, but it's really great and someone should totally do it. It's Ricky. And he's, I mean, I speak Spanish, so it was different for me, but he's acting out the Little Red Riding Hood, or saying the Little Red Riding Hood in Spanish for Little Ricky, their son. But he's acting everything out. And it's so funny because it translates perfectly. Like, everyone knows Little Red Riding Hood.
Yeah.
That's so brilliant. And so even though he's saying it in Spanish, it totally translates, and it's hysterical to watch someone do that in another language. I don't know why, but it's just really, really well done.
Also, when they do the Spanish bits, they work so well because you're seeing it through Lucy's eyes.
Yeah.
Like, I know Spanish, but so I understand it. But I'm saying, like, as a viewer, you're like, what is he saying? And you're kind of with her. You're like, oh, she doesn't understand nothing that they're talking about.
Right, right.
So I dig when like his family comes from Cuba and like and she doesn't speak a lick of Spanish, which is weird because she should have by now, right?
Yeah, you're right.
My girlfriend, she doesn't know any Spanish. We've been together for like 7 years, and she still go to my house. And my mom, you know, my mom won't make an effort. She'd be like, ah, fuck it, I'm speaking Spanish.
Your mom doesn't speak English.
She does if somebody's screwing her over on at the store or something. Yeah. She magically like speaks perfect English, you know. But she's like, meh, no. And so she sometimes my girlfriend would just nod, yeah. Oh yeah. Yep. It feels a lot like I Love Lucy sometimes. She's like, all right. The music video is eventually, are you going to do more shorts or what do you?
I would like to. I would like to do different things. I mean, sketch comedy is really what I started doing and what I love doing. Mm-hmm. So I would love to do some short comedic videos. I mean, the next step is something sort of narrative, you know. Mm-hmm. But music videos are really fun. I feel like I have a knack for it. I hear music, I hear songs, and I like imagine a video mm-hmm. in my head as I listen to it.
Yeah.
So I really like that. But yeah.
Very cool. Hopefully we get to see some short films.
So. Yeah.
All right. Shall we get into talking about your topic? I don't know if you picked it or Adam picked it for you.
We picked it together.
Yeah.
There you go.
That sounds good.
All right. Yeah. So the topic we're talking about is films, travel films. So films that are about travel or that make you want to travel.
Yes.
Do you like traveling?
I hate traveling. I like being other places. But I hate
the planes. Getting there?
I hate everything about it. It's okay.
What about road trips?
Hate it.
Really?
I hate being somewhere else. I mean, I've never been on a road trip in like, you know, a Winnebago where I can like lie down and sleep. You know, I've always been in an uncomfortable car where I want to get the fuck out, like all at all times. And I get motion sickness. So
really?
Unless I'm driving or in the front row and there's no traffic. Front row and front seat and there's no traffic. But yeah, so it sucks. I like being other places, but I hate getting there.
Oh, I love like road tripping. That's my favorite thing. Yeah. I'll volunteer to drive places. I'm like, I'll go.
I shall call you next time I go somewhere.
When Burt Reynolds calls and he needs to bring back a batch of beer, I'm like, I'll go.
Or Burt. If he needs to race across the country.
Yep. Cannonball Run.
We're not stepping on anybody's list.
Whoa. All right. So we're talking about, again, travel films. Stuff that makes you want to travel or that are about traveling. Was this list hard for anybody or what's going on?
I think it was exciting for me.
It was, but then I went dark. I was like, these are movies that make me not want to travel. And I started making a list of those. So
like Hostel or something. Yes. Like that.
Yeah.
What's that one with, is it Claire Danes? No, it's.
Oh yeah. Broke down Palace.
Yeah, Yeah. I haven't seen that. But
there's one with Vince Vaughn.
Joaquin
Phoenix.
Joaquin. And Anne Heche.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it, but like my best friend Serena, anytime I mention going somewhere that sounds exotic, she's like, no, Brokeback Mountain. So I know that it's bad.
So
but I haven't seen it.
So I have a funny story about, before we start, about Amsterdam. So my girlfriend and I went to Paris. We travel around like Bruges, and then we end up in Amsterdam. And before we left, my girlfriend is Jenny's sister, by the way. Mm-hmm. And so we were going, and her dad, I think her dad or her mom, one of them called. I don't know who it is. Her dad listens to the podcast, so he'll tweet me. No, it wasn't me. It was Judy. But so they call, and they're talking about Amsterdam. And he's like, it's my girlfriend talking to him. He's like, now, the weed thing in Amsterdam, you could smoke it there, but you can't bring it back, guys. And that was like, I was like, your dad said that? And she's like, yeah, she's like, you can't bring it back. So that was really awkward. It must have been an awkward conversation for her.
That's awesome. Yeah. Why awkward? That's so great. That's
weird.
That's so great.
My mom once gave me weed.
Why?
Well, I'll explain. My neighbor grows weed, you know, for just a little plant, like a little like pot
medicinal
plant. Yeah, medicinal. And I don't know, my mom was complaining about like pain in her arm or something, like arthritis or something. And so the neighbor gave her a bunch of weed. And so my mom had this under like the sink, and she's like, I have to show you something. She's like, the neighbor gave me weed, you know? And I'm like, okay.
That's awesome.
And she's like, I'm not going to, what am I going to do with it? You know? I'm like, I don't know. Just toss it. She's like, well, here, you could have it. And I was like, whoa.
She didn't smoke it?
No. She
might have helped her.
Might have. And she's
what
like,
what a fool.
She's like, here, you know, and she gave it to me, and I'm like, you want me to throw it away? And she's like, no, you can have it. And
I'm like, all right.
Like, you should have totally smoked with your mom. That's the perfect and only opportunity, and it passed, and you lost
I know.
That's
that could have been it.
You could bake her something.
I could. Oh, yeah. I could. So That's still a possibility, maybe. It's on the card. So, all right, let's do this list. We're going to start with you, Natalie.
Okay. I just want to point out, I just noticed this. I wrote my list down on a yellow pad, and then I took a picture of it instead of writing on my own yellow pad on my phone.
Wow.
So that's how my list is. All right. So I'm trying to think of movies that you guys want to pick and that are top five. Okay, so I'm going to go up to my favorite one. I'm going to go with, only because you just mentioned it, In Bruges, which is nice. Not only one of my favorite movies ever, but also makes me want to travel to random European countries.
Have you been to Bruges?
I have not.
Okay.
Or did you went because of this movie, didn't you?
Well, we were trying to, we're planning things and we're like, okay, we're going to start in Paris and then we're going to eventually end up in Amsterdam. So we were kind of thinking of places to stop and I'm like, I've seen this movie called In Bruges. I think we got to go there. And it's like the movie, it's very effing boring.
Small?
Yeah. Yes. Like if you run really fast, you could, you know, you can get there in like a minute to the other side of town. It's really small.
But it looks so beautiful. Pretty. Yeah.
It's really beautiful, and like that tower is really nice and all. But literally, like the town shuts down at like 9 p.m. Like there's nobody out. Like, and my thinking was like, man, you could really shoot like a short film over here, and no one would stop you because there's nobody out at all. Like, just you just take a little 7D and just film a whole movie out there. But it is it's pretty boring. And the stairs to get up to the tower are pretty.
What about the swans?
I didn't see any swans, so I think they lied to us.
Did you see any hot French girls?
I feel like everyone
cook up
or dwarves.
Yeah, no dwarves. A lot of overweight people. I did see a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
From there?
I know they're tourists.
Tourists. Yeah, right. America, clearly.
Yeah, you're like Americans. I hear you.
I saw In Bruges.
So In Bruges is your number five. That's a good movie.
It's one of my favorites. That's the only movie I think in my entire life that at the end I like got up and cheered at the back of the movie theater. I was like, yes! I was so excited about that whole movie coming together the way it did that I was very happy about it. It's one of my favorites.
Did you see Seven Psychopaths then?
I did. Hated it.
Oh. What?
Hated it.
Really?
Yeah. Which disappointed me.
Oh, wow.
I really, really wanted to like it. Maybe that's why I hated it.
We were discussing Martin McDonagh's like movies, how the trailer for his movies are nothing what the movie is.
Yeah.
I guess they can never figure out his movies out to how to market them.
But. I just thought like Seven Psychopaths seemed a little self-indulgent to me. Not a little, a lot. Like it's him.
It was very self-indulgent. Yeah.
It's his story, and there was not a plot at all.
Yeah. I still had a lot of fun. Sam Rockwell is really good.
I love all those actors. I mean, how could you not? But I just thought the movie itself, like if it didn't have those actors, why? It's not good.
Oh, Seven Psychopaths. Yeah. All right. Good way to start us off. I like where this is going. Jenny?
All right. So
if you pick one of my picks, I'm going to
step all over your toes. My number five, it's kind of a group of movies. But only because it's like, I kind of cheated.
Police Academy?
I'm going to go with, I'll just pick one though, Indiana Jones and the Temple of
Doom.
Yeah,
that's on my list.
Oh. It's kind of all of them really, but if I had to pick one, maybe India with Temple of Doom.
Egypt.
Yes, India, right? Yeah, Egypt would be cool. Any of those where
they're
you do like archaeology shit.
Well,
even the last one,
Last Crusade,
where
he's like, Venice. Like he comes out of the sewer and he's just talking about how much he loves Venice. It's Venice.
It stinks there. I've been there. It smells horrible.
Well, really? he was already in the sewer.
The canals are full of shit.
Yeah,
that's where their shit goes.
Well, that's I remember because the last movie where they let someone go in the water was Summertime, and that was like why? Because Katharine Hepburn got really sick going in the water, and that was like 60 something.
Sometimes it 55. Floods there.
Yeah,
can you imagine?
Super gross.
Okay, so it was on Netflix. It was a movie. I don't know if it's on there still. It's with Stephen Baldwin. It's called Sharks in Venice.
Boy,
It explains it all. Sharks and Venice.
I feel like I saw that like late at night on some channel. That sounds really familiar.
Movies like suck you in because you're like, let's see. And you're cruising through channels. They're like, there's nothing on at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
And you're
except
like, but
Stephen
wait a minute.
Baldwin.
Stephen Baldwin.
Sharks and Venice.
And at first I was like, oh, maybe Venice Beach?
Yeah.
I could see that maybe, you know, like Jaws and Venice. No. All right. And then you're like, oh, no. Oh, there's a CGI shark in Venice. Oh, wow. It gets worse and worse and worse. But yeah.
I think I watched the trailer for that. And that was enough.
Yeah.
I should have done that.
It didn't look as good as Sharktopus. And I mean.
It was no Sharktopus.
No, nothing is.
So your five is all the trilogy.
Yeah. I mean, if I have to pick one, I guess I could.
Pick one.
Temple of Doom, I guess.
All right.
Yeah. That's my favorite.
So India?
Yeah. I want to go to India.
I feel like that's it's a make you want to travel and make you not want to travel. Because I feel like I'd have stomach problems.
You got India
with
by your back, though.
I do hate it when the thuggy cult kidnaps all the children from the village I'm visiting.
Or they pull your heart out.
It's such a
Right before I went to go study abroad in Europe for like a few weeks, I literally 2 days before I left, I watched Taken.
Wow.
It was the worst decision.
At least you were prepared.
Yes. Oh, God, yeah. I was like, where's Liam?
You knew what you were doing.
You knew to hide under the bed, and then they were going to take you.
And describe everything into the phone. He's got a scar, and then it's mullet. He's got two.
He's got two mullets.
I don't remember.
I'm being kidnapped.
Shorts, I think. Hairy legs. I don't know. That's all you can see, right? His legs.
Well, it's funny. I saw somebody's picture, and they were traveling, and they left a note for their dad, and it said, "Dad, if something happens to me while I'm out, watch these movies." And that's what Liam Neeson does, and she had left Taken 1 and Taken 2.
That's hilarious.
Very cool. All right, for my number 5, I picked, this is a weird movie. I don't know if it's going to be for everybody. It's a movie from 2001. It's a movie from Mexico. It's called Y Tu Mamá También.
Sí, good movie.
Yes.
Really good movie.
It's a really good road trip movie. They're looking. They travel. It's two friends, and they travel with an older lady, who they may or may not have sex with. Both of them.
They may.
Yeah, and they're looking for this like secluded beach that really kind of they made up, and they eventually may or not get to the beach. We'll find out.
Not.
Spoiler alert: may or may not get to the beach.
You really did make that drink strong.
It's all around
Mexico,
right?
No. Yes. When I was like a teenager, I did a road trip through Mexico when you could, and that was really fun. And it kind of I didn't have a gay experience like the characters did, but it was fun all around.
Did you have sex with an older woman?
No, I didn't. No.
I had to remember.
No.
Was that
She was
trip?
The same age. But no. And it was really fun. And it kind of reminded me of that. And yeah. Road trip movies. So, Kevin.
Cool.
What do you bring to the table?
Okay. So my number 5 is also a little kind of quirky.
Uh-oh.
It's from 2005 and it's Broken Flowers.
I haven't seen it.
Jim
Jarmusch
road trip movie.
Yeah.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
We both did a road trip.
Mm-hmm.
I like it for a different reason.
I know why you like it, yeah.
But tell us what the movie is.
So pretty much it's Bill Murray playing this an older kind of Casanova Don Juan who gets a letter in the mail saying that 20 years ago he had a relationship with a woman and they broke it off, but she ended up getting pregnant and so he has a child, but she doesn't say who she is or leave a return address or anything like that. So he kind of looks at who he had relationships with 20 years ago and he goes and kind of sees all the women that he had that he ended up ruining relationships with, basically.
Yeah. This is a good movie.
That sounds good. I want to see that.
Yeah.
There's Jim Jarmusch. Two movies came out at the same time that had almost the exact same plot. There was this one with Bill Murray and there was Don't Come Knocking with Sam Shepard. And it was weird. It was like the exact same movie.
I like this one a lot better.
Yeah, I mean, it's got the humor and the drama.
Well, Jeffrey Wright just coming in. The scene where Jeffrey Wright, there's Bill Murray sitting on his couch doing nothing, and Jeffrey Wright calls him up. And he's like, hey, are you home? He's like, no. And he just walks in. But they keep having this conversation on the phone.
He puts the phone
like
against his chest. He puts the phone against his chest, even though he was just talking on the phone. Asks some questions, and then as he walks back out, he picks the phone back up and continues having the conversation with them on the phone.
Awesome.
Jeffrey Wright's hilarious.
I love Bill Murray.
Yeah, and he's great. He has
Sharon Stone's in this as well. Who's Jessica Lange?
Jessica Lange is in it. Alexis DeZena.
Who's Francis O'Connor?
Francis O'Connor. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a really cool movie. I like the ending too.
I think it was on Netflix for a little while.
It was. Yeah, it's still on there.
Is it still on there?
Yeah.
That should be our stream of the week.
There should be.
There you go.
Okay. Broken we'll Flowers. Watch it.
Done. Nelly has a TV show that she's been watching that's also on Netflix.
Yeah, just finished
Freaks and Geeks.
Freaks and Geeks. Yeah. What was that again?
Yeah. She's like, I just mentioned it. Yeah. Adam.
Okay.
Break it down.
Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I did kind of have trouble with this list because there's just so many places, so many movies that have made me want to go places. And this one, I'm just gonna go with 1995's French Kiss.
Oh, nice.
Kevin Kline, Meg Ryan. I love France. And when I was younger, this movie, I mean, just Kevin Kline being, Kevin Kline being funny and saying, Bob, you know, Bob Dylan.
Kevin Kline made me want to go to France.
I've never seen this movie. What is it?
I haven't seen what's it either.
Okay, so it's a really convoluted plot. Meg Ryan she's trying to expatriate to Canada to move in with Timothy Hutton. Timothy Hutton has to go away on business to France, and in the process of like getting her or expatriating, she decides to chase after him. Like he meets another woman and has to call off their wedding. So she leaves America in the process of trying to become a Canadian and goes to France, which basically voids her expatriation process. So she is a person without a country. And she gets stuck in France with Kevin Kline, who is a jewel thief who hides his loot in her bag on the plane. And it's just them chasing each other back and forth through Paris. And it's hilarious.
That sounds fun.
And then he ends up trying to help her get Timothy Hutton back so that he can use her to like front his diamonds and get the money for it. And Jean Reno is in it as a police inspector who is also friends with him, who is trying to catch him but not actually put him away. He's like trying to help him do the right thing. Mm. And they go
back. So Kevin Kline plays a French guy?
Yeah, he's a French guy.
Okay.
I can't believe I've never seen this. No one here has seen this movie. Okay.
When I was a kid, yeah.
Meg Ryan, she's just like this walking ball of neuroses. She's terrified of traveling. The movie opens with her on a plane, and like someone's talking. There's a voiceover talking to her, and you realize that she's in a simulator that's like prepping her to get over her fear of flying. And
what year is this?
95.
Oh, I love 90s Meg Ryan.
2000s Meg Ryan.
Prime Meg Ryan.
Yeah.
She's got the weird hair and she wears the really high mom pants, but it works. It works for her. She pulled it off.
Meg Ryan Inner Space. Really good looking.
That's 80s Meg Ryan.
That's the best.
Top Gun Meg Ryan's pretty great too. Ooh.
Yeah. The curly hair.
Yes.
Yeah. Really good.
But it's fun and it is really convoluted and they do go all over the place and they're like she's just a mess. She's scared of flying. She's lactose intolerant. She gets motion sickness. And they go to wine country and they go to the Mediterranean Sea. They go all over France and it's amazing. So
that's my biggest fear I feel of traveling, like as a food. Like I'm like, what if the food like I get food poisoning or something? That's a big fear of mine. What if I poop in my pants? That's a big fear.
Well, then you need to learn how to say I pooped my pants in whatever language of whatever country you're going to. Yeah.
And like, what if it's a punishable crime at that country? You know, they're like, this man.
They cut off your butt.
Yeah. So, all right. Natalie.
Okay. My next pick, only because Kevin said it, I will make this my next pick. I'm deciding the order of my list as we speak.
Ooh.
We do that quite often.
Yeah. Is Lost in Translation.
That's my number two.
That's my number four. So yeah. Perfect.
I'm going to take it off my list now and use something else.
I love it. I love that movie. I love Bill Murray, as I said earlier. Yes. Makes me want to go to Tokyo really bad.
Yeah. And you're like, it's okay if you don't understand anything because you'll just
I'll be fine.
Deal with it. Maybe Bill Murray will help you out.
You'll run into Bill Murray in a hotel.
Yeah.
You'll hang out.
I wish I would.
He'll be your best friend.
Yeah.
He'll take you out to Shabu Shabu.
It's such a well-made movie. It's really great.
It's gorgeous. It's
beautiful. And
it's very touching.
Scott Johansson is nice to look at.
How many of you have replayed the ending and just put the volume really loud to see if you can see what he whispers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It never works out.
No. It doesn't.
No, but there's theories online about like...
What do you think he said?
I don't know. I can't remember what I thought at one point. But there's like, if you look it up online, there's like someone who has some
who's like a lip
audio
reader.
Machine that
like the conversation. He's like,
yeah,
he's like get reel to reel, and he's like, he said
they turn it up, and it turns out he's telling the same story from Caddyshack about meeting the Dalai Lama. Yeah.
That's a very cool movie. I it was funny when I first saw it. I didn't like it. but I was going through
a lot of people. Yeah, that.
But then I got into my I like still movies, and then I love it. So
it's great.
I actually gave also Marie Antoinette another chance, okay. And I actually liked it.
Oh, really?
That's yeah. Good.
I like Marie Antoinette. Jason Schwartzman is really funny.
Yes,
in
yes,
movie.
He is. Yes.
He's really good in that.
Yeah,
he's so good.
So, I love him. Good pick, Jenny.
Oh, yeah. Oh man, I forgot. yeah. All right. So I'm gonna go with one of my favorite. I think I might have named this maybe one of my favorite comedies. 2004's Eurotrip.
Yes.
Nice.
I
have not seen it.
Really?
I know. I'm like the only person that hasn't seen it.
I saw it 4 times in theater.
Yep. Wow.
Wow.
That's not a good thing. It's not a good thing.
It's not that good of, I mean, it's entertaining, but it's not that great.
Well,
I'm not sure I ever saw it in theaters. I'm not going to lie to you.
I might credit this as something that the movie that kind of made us like fail out of film school.
I think so, yeah.
Because we would be like, oh, should we go to class? Like, nah, what's playing? Let's go see Eurotrip again.
How do you fail out of LACC film school?
Well, we didn't go.
Drop out, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we dropped out. Drop out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because of Eurotrip?
Well, because of a lot of movies.
A lot of movies.
Yeah.
That's going to go on your tombstone.
Yeah. Because of Eurotrip. Because
of Eurotrip.
No, it'd be like, hey, should we go to class or should we go see a movie? And then the movie would always win out.
Yeah.
The thing is that a lot of the classes we're going to, we had seen most of the movie, so it'd be like, oh, it's going to be boring and we're going to sit this stupid lecture stumble.
The documentary class.
No, he also did the narrative one.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
That sounds all. I can't imagine.
Yeah.
He only did my documentary class when I went to LACC. He didn't do the narrative class. Oh. That would have been so bad.
Yeah.
Was it a really boring teacher?
Yes.
He made things. He would suck boring. the entertainment out of movies. Just like some sort of entertainment vampire.
Aw, yeah. Mr. Temple, if you're listening, they don't mean
it. It's funny because he had like, I literally found out
what if he's a fan of the podcast, guys?
He's not.
I doubt he has technology. For him. Yeah. He's retired.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's got a lot of books right now.
Look, former students of mine wrote a podcast. Let's see.
His classes were, thing with LACC, their classes were so huge. There's no way he knew who we were.
He's someone's favorite teacher, guys.
I'm sure he is.
Someone's favorite teacher.
Someone really annoying.
Yeah,
probably
that kid, you know.
Yeah,
I do.
The guy that would go, let's pronounce Coppola, not Coppola. Everybody has
the guy
that
who
person.
Would remind him that we still had half an hour of class left. Like, yeah. Oh, we can still do something.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh gosh,
those are
the worst.
All right, so what was
that assignment due today?
Was there a pop quiz today? Where were we at? What did you say?
My number 4 is Eurotrip.
Oh yeah, Eurotrip. Tell people what it's about. If they haven't watched
it's a group
it.
Of friends that go to Europe to find a girl.
It's road trip in Europe.
Yeah. Literally, that's...
And is it bad?
Isn't that guy Tom, the guy that had his show on MTV who...
Tom Green?
Missing, yeah.
He's in...
Road Trip.
He's in Road Trip. Yeah. Euro Trip has Michelle...
Are they related?
Harriet the
Spy.
Is that
like a sequel? Michelle Trachtenberg.
Really. Yeah, Michelle Trachtenberg is in it.
Trachtenberg?
Trachtenberg.
Yeah. That's a hard name.
I said Trachtenberg, but yeah, he's probably right. It's Trachtenberg.
Pitts, who's on Justified now. And he plays like a hard ass Marine,
yes.
But he's also in Road Trip. And Lucy Lawless is in it.
Yeah.
In the
really?
Amsterdam.
Yeah. Really?
And they go to like a
I
sex
love
dungeon.
Lucy Lawless.
Place.
Yeah.
Oh, and Fred Armisen's in it.
Sex. Yes. The
is
guy
he?
On the train.
Yes. Yeah. He's funny.
He's so
he's really
I guess
funny.
I should see this. It's
Matt Damon funny. Makes a cameo.
Oh, yeah. That's the best part. I
best
think.
Matt Damon cameo.
Wow. Yeah.
Isn't And then Vinny Jones is one of the soccer hooligans.
Yes.
Okay, so is it bad that when I heard about the new Pope, the first thing I thought of was Eurotrip?
Yeah.
Like, okay, that is bad?
No. I thought the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought, like...
There's a
mouse?
Subplot.
Oh, God, yeah, I forgot about Pope. That part. Oh, I see.
Is it a mouse? I can't remember.
I thought it... Wasn't there a mouse? Somebody does something sexual with a mouse in one of those?
I don't remember that
maybe
at all.
Maybe it's Road Trip. I don't know.
Road Trip.
Yes. And it's Tom Green.
It's not sexual.
He's got the snake.
He's taking
he's
care of
feed
snake.
The snake. And so he puts the mouse in his mouth.
That's one of my favorite scenes.
Yeah.
That's one of the funnier Tom Green bits. Because he's not very funny. But yeah,
Drew Barrymore was married to him?
That's nuts.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah, weird.
That's really nuts.
Some people have weird tastes.
Or do you mean that's really nuts because he only has one?
Well, yeah.
Did you talk with her about that during
going
the distance?
I didn't, but she's really great. She's awesome. And I really can't, I cannot see her at all dating him.
She was standing next to me in the pit and she had a backpack full of beer and she offered me a beer. I was already drunk.
What kind of beer was it?
That's Drew Barrymore.
I was way drunk.
That would explain a lot about it.
I'll tell you, she's super cool.
She seems like she's really cool.
She is, yeah.
I dig that she's directing. I dig that. Yeah. Was it Whippet?
Whippet, mm-hmm. Whippet
yeah.
was good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm tempted to see. I want to see what she's going to do next. So I hope she keeps directing. Maybe
did
she'll be
meet
the next Ben
Justin
Affleck.
Justin Long, too?
I did. He was in the same movie.
Yeah. Is he cool?
Very cool. Really nice guy.
Yeah.
He's one of those that you're like, either he's really cool or
no,
he's like
he's
really
awesome.
Not. Okay.
He's awesome. Yeah, I did this movie. I did this movie with Drew Barrymore, Justin Long, Charlie Day, and Jason Sudeikis, and it was like the most fun ever. They were so
it was
awesome.
A good movie too.
I really liked it too. I loved it. It's called Going the Distance.
I
thought it was super funny. My friend Jeff Letulip wrote it, and it's really great.
Jim,
maybe it's
is Jim Gaffigan in it?
He's
I didn't meet him or Christina Applegate, who I both love because they shot that when I separately from our stuff. But
you played her, it was Drew Barrymore's friend, right?
Yeah, like she lived in New York and then she was back to LA, but I was her friend in New York. Yeah,
yeah, it's very funny. Cool.
Yeah.
A lot of funny people.
Kristen Schaal's in it. She plays a bartender.
You are in a lot of things that just have cast made up of hilarious
great
people.
Great people,
yeah.
I know. Isn't that awesome?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty great.
I've been pretty lucky.
Lucky?
Yeah. I know.
Yeah. Where are we at? I guess we're still on
Eurotrip? No, we're with you.
Oh,
you're
let's talk about Eurotrip again.
So you got kicked out of film school, blah, blah, blah.
All right. For my number four, it was Lost in Translation, so I lose a turn.
Okay. So my number four kind of accentuates the pains of traveling.
Uh-oh.
And it's from 1987, and it's Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yeah, I was going to pick that, but I thought someone might.
Well, then I'm glad I picked it.
I love that movie.
I love this movie
so
much.
It's
so
good.
Steve Martin and John Candy are at their best.
Yeah.
And the jokes are great, and because it's John Hughes, he can mix comedy and drama just flawlessly, and it goes from one set... Second, you're laughing, and the next, you're like, "Holy crap! John Candy wants to make me cry right now."
Yeah, I feel like all the John Hughes movies still hold up. I still like, I put them on, and I still cry.
Yeah,
Curse Steelers,
because she doesn't pick Ducky.
Yeah,
yeah. What a B, man.
Aww.
He was there the whole time.
Yeah. It's tough.
John Cryer
right
lives.
There.
We used to. One of our friends used to live in like a Silver Lake area, kind of,
mm-hmm.
and we would always go over to his house. Brandon and our friend Brian, and we'd park on the street, and there was a huge, huge billboard, and some taggers had tagged an interesting little like mural, and it just read John Cryer lives.
Well, it was a billboard for Two and a Half Men because it was the early like years of Two and a Half Men.
Yeah, but at one point the Two and a Half Men part kind of started falling off, but it was still the bottom part, the John Cryer lives part was still. And for the longest time, I was like, wow, these guys must either love John Cryer or because it was in huge letters. These guys spent like a good hour, you know, and the had color in it, had flair.
Whoa.
So I was like, whoa, these taggers are like big, big Ducky fans. So
this guy likes John Cryer as much as you like Johnny Cash when you're drunk.
Oh yeah. Well,
yeah
I get a little crazy.
You
get
really emotional.
You tag billboards with Johnny
No, I just started like I,
you would
yeah,
though you
I
weep
would
if you were
yeah I didn't well I got really drunk one night and like the next day they're like, dude, don't ever play Johnny Cash when you're drunk, dude. He's like, why? He's like, dude, you were crying so much snot was coming out of your nose.
Oh my god.
And you were like, you apparently you remember that Johnny Cash had died. And have you forgotten or something? And so, yeah. So,
aww.
Lesson learned. Don't get drunk and listen to Johnny Cash. All right. Plane, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yeah.
Love it.
Okay. So, it's my turn. My number four
it's your turn.
Is from 2010, and it's The American.
Oh.
Mm. Which really makes me want to go to Italy.
It's really
I
still.
I can't remember.
I like it.
That's such a generic title that right now I can't remember.
It's
what
George Clooney plays a hitman.
Right.
And like his job, he gets found out. And so he's told to go to a village in Italy. And he's just in this small, it looks like.
Oh,
it
no,
looks
I
like,
didn't see it.
It
I just
like,
remember the font.
Okay.
Yes. I think that's how I feel too. I don't know that I remember seeing it.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, I remember
the poster.
Okay. I like the poster. Yeah, exactly. No, I don't think I saw that.
Well, I mean, if you like George Clooney, just hanging out and being cool.
Was it good?
I loved it. Oh. I really loved it. It's Ricardo would like it a lot.
Oh, I own it.
Oh, yeah, because it's still it's a lot of very it's a tone poem.
Yeah. Oh.
And he just hangs out in Italy, and he's like, it's like a Western set in Italy.
Yeah,
a modern day Western. It's really it's
the guy who did Control.
Yeah, it's Anton Corbin or however you say his name. But yeah, it makes me want to go hang out in an Italian village, preferably not. Being chased by other hitmen, though, just to hang out.
Yeah.
And then in the beginning, I think he's in Iceland, and even that looks gorgeous. He's in this cabin. He's got his Clooney beard going on, hanging out with the lady.
Yeah. Clooney always looks cool. Even when in the 80s when he had that mullet going. Still looks cool.
No. On the Facts of Life?
Come on.
No. Really? I'm with Natalie. That, yeah. Yeah, the mullet doesn't work for most people.
Too bad. It's like Uncle Jesse's mullet. Not good.
You don't like Uncle Jesse?
No.
Jesse and the Rippers? Not a fan?
Fan of them. Not the mullet, though.
Oh, man. Yeah.
There's a thing about, like, unless the guy has long hair all around, if his hair is long by his neck, it's just
okay,
hideous.
Wait. What about Lethal Weapon mullet?
Still bad.
I mean, it's bad, but yeah, that was bad. The only time it really works for me.
It doesn't even, no.
Like, Lethal Weapon 3 is too far. He should have cut it for Lethal Weapon 3.
Should have cut it by then.
Yeah.
Come on.
But 1 and 2, I was okay with it.
Yeah. I mean, he was with
I'm glad it was gone in 4, but then yeah. 4 was just not good, so.
Yeah.
How dare you? I don't know.
I mean, Chris Rock bolsters Chris that Rock movie. Is he holds that movie
up.
Yeah. I also like Joe Pesci. He brings it. It's pretty
Joe
funny.
Joe Pesci is also one of my
I like
favorites.
Funny Joe Pesci.
Funny Joe Pesci? Joe Pesci?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't like Casino Joe Pesci?
Well, I mean, I do, but I'm saying, like, it's surprising. I dig, it's kind of like we were talking about Buster Keaton, when, like, serious guys do comedy, it's even funnier because they take it so serious.
Right.
But Joe Pesci, like, in, like, have you guys seen Eight Heads in a Duffel Bag?
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Dude, don't step on my list. They travel.
I'm sorry. Natalie, I think it's to you.
Okay, so I had backup ones, but Indiana Jones was on my list.
Yeah,
so should I
under.
Use a backup one?
Of course. All right.
This is a backup one. Let's see. Which one should I pick? I'm going to go with a surprise one, I think. And that one is Moon.
Ooh.
Nice.
Because it's traveling to the moon. And
I did not
I would
even
like to
think about space travel.
Yeah.
I
thought of Alien, too, but that's kind of horrible. but yeah, Moon. Like, not only is Moon a great movie, in my opinion, but I've always really liked space travel, so...
But it's all, like it's really lonely up there.
It is, but it's beautiful. Yeah. It's so beautiful looking.
Yeah, it is.
You would enjoy it. It's lots of stillness.
Yeah. Oh,
a sea of tranquility.
Yeah, and it's not that lonely when you're with yourself.
I guess so.
And the voice of Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's so good.
I dig that kid. What's his name?
Kevin Spacey.
David Bowie's kid, the director of that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Duncan.
That's his
Duncan
like, first Jones. Movie, right?
Yeah, yeah. He did Source Code.
So good.
Yeah, now he's doing World of Warcraft.
They're making a movie of that?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Huh. Yeah. We didn't talk about Doctor Who. You're a big Doctor Who fan.
Yeah.
Okay, what's your doctor? I haven't seen any of them,
what?
By the way. Yeah, my girlfriend's, like, insane over Doctor Who.
Right, you have the TARDIS.
She.
Why haven't you seen it?
Well,
it's too British.
It's too British, is what he says.
Yeah.
That's
what he says. You don't like British stuff?
Well, I started at the beginning, and then I was really tired that day, so I fell asleep right away.
Well, don't start at the beginning. That's
well,
we had this conversation when Natalie was here before. You got to watch the Weeping Angels episode.
Exactly.
Yes.
That's what I was just going to say. You have to watch Blink or the Matt Smith Weeping Angels episodes. Those are the best.
So
that's how you start.
What's
that's
your
how
favorite doctor?
Oh, my God. I like Matt Smith a lot. I know
really?
That's a novel theory, but I think he's really, really great. He brings something totally different to that part.
Would you rather be a companion or a doctor?
Well, a doctor, but if I'll settle.
all right, but the companions never have.
It's like asking, like, would you rather be first lady or president?
I guess so.
Yeah,
but first lady is still like kickback. You're like you get all the perks and none of the pressure.
Yeah, you know,
that's true.
But still,
I'd rather be a first lady. I'm just saying. All right, well,
Moon,
I love it.
Moon,
you went out of the world travel.
I
dig it.
I went out of this world.
You could have said Ghost of Mars, but...
No, Moon.
With Ice Cube and Pandora.
Thanks.
Jenny, what is your number 3?
All right, so my number 3 is 2000... Oh, I did a lot of 2004s. My number 3 is 2004's Sideways.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I'm actually not really... Napa. Oh, yeah. I'm not actually a wine drinker. I'm more of a beer girl, but... it's beautiful there, so
yeah,
I like going there and taking pictures, and maybe I'll have, you know, a sip.
Yeah.
Get a little buzz.
Yeah,
but I like wine country a lot. It's beautiful.
I don't like wine. I like sweet wine, but I feel like that's not real wine, you know,
because
that's like usually like a white.
Nope.
Do you like wine?
I do.
What kind? You like the earthy ones? How they?
No, if you're not a wine drinker, you should start out with the Reds, you should start with Pinot Noir. Everybody likes Pinot Noir.
Yeah, that's the one I can't drink.
And the more you drink it, the more you'll notice the subtleties and different kinds, and then you'll like open yourself up to different kinds of wines. But that's the starter wine, and it's always really good.
Yeah, my girlfriend used to work at a wine store at one point, and so I got to taste a couple of them, and I'm like, oh, okay, I like these, and then kind of that's where I kind of developed my taste. But yeah, anything like earthy, I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, you just gotta get used to it. It's a learned
it's
taste.
The same with beer too.
Yeah.
Like, I recently just got into too, IPAs.
Yeah. And IPAs.
Well, you don't like that kind of stuff because you're kind of a pussy, but it's no big deal.
It's all right.
IPAs are delicious, but it takes a while to get used to them.
And then one day you're just like, oh,
this is all
this
I want to drink.
So good, yeah.
It helps not to oranges. Live close to a bunch of wineries. Like when I lived in San Diego, we would just go up to Temecula all the time. And
how far is Temecula
rounds.
From San Diego?
It's not that far at all. Well, where in San Diego? Like from San Diego, downtown San Diego, it's like an hour. But,
okay.
But from where I live on the outskirts of San Diego, it was like a 20, 30 minute drive.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And so Sideways is the story is Thomas Hayden Church is going to get married. Mm-hmm. And they're going to do his like kind of like bachelor party, but it's kind of like
his bachelor
Paul Giamatti. Yeah, bachelor.
And he plays
weekend.
A hateful character as he usually does.
I love him.
I love his. I
want
relate
him,
to his character.
I think he's so funny. He does though, but yeah. I love him. I can't help it. From Wings. That's why.
Wings.
From Wings. I was like, why do I love him? From Wings.
I dig Thomas Hayden Church a lot. I think he's really funny. I don't know why he's not.
I don't like him at all.
Really?
Oh, no.
Why do you like
is it because of George of the Jungle?
is it because of Spider-Man
3? You know what I think it is? This is superficial, but I think it's his mouth.
Really?
Yeah. I really don't like men with big lips.
Really?
I make an exception for Mick Jagger because his lips aren't as big as his mouth is. But yeah, I don't.
Mick Jagger's
got huge lips. I call him Ruben Lips. This is why. Men named Ruben always have huge lips.
You may have something here. Okay.
So I always call people like that Ruben Lips.
I'm going to tweet you pictures of people that name Ruben.
And I just, I like his mouth really bothers me. I don't even know that his lips are that big. It's just, it really bothers me. I used to host a radio show. And one of our segments was people I hate to look at, and he was on it a lot.
Wow, well, he was like your top five. Like
he was just I don't know.
This week's slip offenders
nothing
are
against the guy. I mean, maybe he's nice. I don't know, but I'm not a huge fan of his acting, and I don't.
You
like
can't
his
look
mouth.
At his face.
Yeah, yeah then you're not gonna.
Not worth it.
Yeah, nothing's worth it. For,
that makes
know.
It
yeah.
difficult.
It's funny. Originally, it was supposed to be George Clooney. But
oh
I mean,
really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So much better.
That would have been so cool.
That would have been interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan of Paul Giamatti either.
Really?
Which makes that movie like...
You're like, yeah.
Except for the guy running naked. That was the best part of that movie.
Well,
I
the
love...
lady too. The lady
no,
had to
but
do
there's
it.
Penis flopping around is way funnier than anything else. That is so hysterical. And it runs like right into the camera, which is so good. That was... I laughed out loud in the theater in that part hysterically, but that's it.
I didn't think
anything else was
like,
funny.
That's when like full frontal male nudity is like...
It's so funny.
It only works in a comedy. I feel like it,
wait, what about shame?
Shame.
You're right.
Well, did it work? I don't know.
It worked.
For her. Did you see Shame?
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
I liked it.
I liked it too.
And not his.
Wait, what about
you liked it?
What about naked knife fighting in Eastern Promises?
That's pretty cool too. Because
or William Sadler. Well, you don't see his penis, but William Sadler's naked.
You know what? That's a phobia of mine. I don't like to be naked.
Naked.
I don't like to be naked a lot or barefoot.
Yeah.
Because
you're never nude.
Getting hurt.
Well, not in every mood. It just I'm afraid of like
never
an appendage getting like chopped off.
Yeah.
And it isn't. It's not just
so
penis,
no
it's
naked
also toes. Like I'm afraid something's gonna fall and chop
my toe off.
What
about frying something without a shirt?
Oh, I would never do that. I
did that the other day with some plantains.
What?
And my boyfriend was like, "What are you doing?" And I was like, "I'm Cuban. It's fine. That's what I do." Okay.
Hot oil and
I didn't get burned. I know what I'm doing.
It's just dangerous though.
Yeah.
I would have made you put on a shirt.
Funny penis. A really really funny penis. I might steal one of your list movies, but Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Yes.
That's really great.
Yeah. That's probably
Freaks and Geeks.
That's probably the best on-screen penis scene because it's just so the context funny. Of it. It's a breakup scene, and he's crying. And
it's so funny.
Smacks up against each other. Oh my god,
it's so funny, and it's all one take too, which is incredible. If I was Kristen Bell, I mean, I think they probably shot that a ton of times because do you not lose it?
Yeah.
I've got a surprise.
Now I have to watch that movie.
That's gotta be a good cast. That's gonna be a good cast.
Alright, so it's your turn. It's funny.
My turn?
Yeah, you're number three.
Sorry, guys. Where are we three? I picked from 2004 The Motorcycle Diaries.
That's my number one.
Well, I stole it. basically, it is the story of Ernesto Guevara. Che Guevara, as he eventually is, you know, known. And it's kind of him leaving Argentina and going on a road trip with his best friend, Alberto, I think, Granado. And just the places he visits, the people he meets, it's a toss-up between this one and Y Tu Mamá También for, like, the best road trip movie. But I think, like, visually, this is a better movie. I think.
And they both ride on one motorcycle? Like, nuts to butts?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. It's a big motorcycle.
I haven't seen it because I have it like being Cuban have a huge problem with Che Guevara.
Yeah.
So I think that movie's like before he's horrible. Right?
Yeah.
He's like a 20 a or something.
Yeah.
Or like,
yeah.
I should watch it. I like
this is cool.
I like Gael García Bernal a lot. I think he's really great. I don't know. I heard that movie was good.
Yeah. It is really good. Everybody's amazing in it, and the director's really good. What's his name? LaSalle.
Yeah. Walter.
Mm-hmm. Walter. Yeah. And I think he's doing
He did On the Road.
On the Road, too. So, that's not out yet, is it?
Yeah, it came out a while ago. Really? I haven't seen it yet, though.
It was out very limited.
I was really upset that got made without me.
It's good. Do you like, are you a fan of Kerouac?
Yeah. Well, I always wanted to make that movie, but.
Well, Big Sur is coming out, too.
Yeah, Big Sur looks amazing.
That looks really good, too. Hmm. Yeah, so curious.
I want to go to Big Sur.
Anywho.
Big Sur is cool. Kevin?
Okay, so my number three is from 1999, and it's The Straight Story.
I just saw the poster of that, and I thought it was Amistad. I'm like, whoa.
I haven't seen it. I've never even heard of that.
I haven't either.
It's a David Lynch film, but it's not a typical David Lynch film at all. It's got a lot of stillness, and it's really just about an old man, played by Richard Farnsworth, traveling from Iowa to Wisconsin on a lawnmower.
Because
he doesn't have a driver's license. Oh, and he's losing, like, his eyesight is bad, so he can't have a driver's license because of that. He has to walk with a walker, but he's so stubborn he doesn't want a walker, so he walks with two canes. And he's trying to repair a relationship with his brother who just had, like, I believe he had a stroke. And they haven't talked to each other in about 10 years, so he's trying to get to Wisconsin to see his brother before
What's
anybody.
It called?
It's called The Straight Story.
Straight Story.
It's just so weird because it's David Lynch doing a G-rated small movie for Disney.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's nothing crazy or weird. Nobody it's the sweet.
Speaks backwards.
You think he was bored the whole time?
He's like, there's nothing to do in this movie. Do you guys ever watch Steve Lynch doing the Weather Report?
Yes.
That's genius, right?
Listen to it.
Yes, listen to it.
Yeah.
He's like, this is David Lynch.
With the weird music playing in the background.
Yeah.
It is a sunny 78.
He used to do it when Indy 1031 was on. It was on every morning. I guess now it's on. Does he still do it online?
I think online. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really.
He was so great on Louie. Did you guys watch that?
No.
David Lynch played a character on Louie and it was hysterical. It was this last season. It was so funny. And it was shot kind of Lynchy, that episode. like there's like a receptionist at the office and then when they come out it's a different woman wearing the same clothes.
I like those weird directors like do like parts of movies. Yeah, like Werner Herzog and like
oh my god.
And Jack Reacher.
And Jack Reacher. He's awesome.
I know. That's really funny.
I want to see David Lynch in more things.
Yeah. Watch him in Louie. It's so funny.
What He's season? Really was this good. Last season?
This last season.
I got to catch up.
Yeah.
Damn it. All right. Adam, where are you at? Where are we at?
Damn it. Now I'm in like this weird gray area where I don't know what movies I want to pick anymore. So let's just throw out from 1996, Everyone Says I Love You. By Woody Allen.
Is that the musical?
This is the musical. Yeah. So it's probably your least favorite Woody Allen.
It's my least favorite Woody Allen, yeah.
I have not seen that.
Ricardo hates musicals.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
They go to Venice and they dance. The dancing is not in Venice. The dancing is in Paris.
Paris.
Along with
Drew Barrymore.
Drew Barrymore's in it. Everybody's in it.
Ed Norton.
Drew Barrymore, Ed Norton, Alan Alda, Goldie Hawn.
Wow.
Yeah. Ed Norton sings.
Ed Norton's actually singing.
They're all singing? Like,
yeah.
Tim Roth sings.
God, that sounds amazing.
There's so many people in this movie.
Tim Roth?
Yeah.
Oh, I love him.
He's all angry and singing. He's like, ugh. I'm just...
Julia Roberts.
Give us a synopsis of what it is.
So I don't even know how to synopsize this movie because there's so much going on. It's about this family, this weird, crazy, somehow functioning family where it's like Goldie Hawn and Woody Allen are divorced and they share a daughter together. Natasha Lyonne plays their daughter. And then she lives with Goldie Hawn and Alan Alda, her stepdad, and their new family, which includes Gabby Hoffman and Natalie Portman and Lucas Haas. Is that his name?
Yeah,
wow.
Lucas.
Yeah,
And it's just like this weird, crazy Woody Allen type family. It's like a stereotypical Woody Allen movie, but they also sing.
Yeah,
and Woody Allen's story is he lives in Europe and he lives in France, and he starts trying to move on and meet someone new, and he tries to woo Julie Roberts at one point when they're in Venice, and Natasha Lyonne's going around, and every scene she's got a new lover who she's engaged to, and like Billy Crudup's in it at one point. I don't remember who else she hooks up with.
Everybody's in this movie.
Everybody's in this movie.
Wow.
Like, they're all singing. Who wants to be in this movie? And everybody just showed up.
Yeah, and they all
showed up. Like, got to make parts for all these people.
And you don't have this one?
No, because it's a musical, Jenny.
I know. Well, that's why I double asked.
Double asked?
You know what I meant.
Double checked?
Double checked.
That's the one.
But like the last dance scene with Woody Allen and Goldie Hawn along the scene is amazing. It's just magical. Kevin, you're with me on this one.
Oh, yeah. No, I love this movie.
And it's in Paris.
Which
you love.
Which I love.
Yes.
But they go to Paris, they go to Venice. It makes me want to go to New York also, because it's Woody Allen.
Yeah. I dig. All right. I mean, I don't dig the music, but I dig the choice.
Musical, I know.
And I dig the fact that it's in Paris. I would have gone with Midnight in Paris. That was on my list, but I took it off.
There are still movies.
You don't like any musicals?
For the most part, no.
Hedwig?
Nah, not really. Yeah, it takes me out of it. Like, I'm with it, yeah, and then people start singing, I'm like, oh.
What about if it's all singing all the time, like Rent?
Yeah, no.
Did you watch Rent?
I tried to.
Yeah?
Yeah, because I was like,
Might as well.
Might as well. I always try, like, but I can tell you, like, oh, this is really good.
Right,
but
you just don't like it.
Yeah, like, certain movies, I'll admit, like, oh, that's really good, I just don't.
I couldn't have hated Les Mis more, so.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
I like musicals that are like have to do with like performances, like Once I really love.
Yeah,
I consider that a musical.
Yeah,
but when there's an act,
outbursts of singing. Yeah, you don't get it. Yeah,
no one ever does that in real life.
Yeah,
well, some people. All right, your number.
All right, so I'm on my number two, right?
Yes.
Okay, it's a tie. Can I do that?
Yeah,
can I do a tie.
Yeah, totally do that.
It's a tie, and I'm echoing you. It's a tie between two Woody Allen movies.
Ooh.
One which I hate, and one which I like.
Okay.
I like very much. Okay. The one that I like is Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought it was a brilliant movie.
Yeah.
And Penelope Cruz is outstanding in it. And it makes me want to go to Barcelona. And the other one is Midnight in Paris, which I did not like at all.
Whoa.
However, it does not make me want to travel to Paris. It makes me want to travel in time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Want to go to the 20s. Yeah.
Yes. That's my number one solely because it's 20s Paris.
Yes.
That's why it's my number one.
Yeah. Right, I didn't like the movie. I thought it, I don't know. I didn't like it at all, but I really liked, I thought they could have done so much more with that concept.
Yeah.
But I liked that it was there and it made me want to travel.
I'm just
going to
spoil part of my list for you and show you that's where did it go? That was exactly what I had.
That's your list?
That was
Is it a tie?
That was my tie.
Yeah.
For number two. So I'm going to move that.
Yeah.
So I can use other movies now. But yeah,
I
had the exact same
That's
thing.
That's funny. Yeah. I don't know. I didn't like the movie, but I liked that.
So, but Vicky Cristina Barcelona. It was a good movie.
Yeah, so great.
And, well, it's funny because he didn't have like an interpreter or anyone. And like he was literally like, well, I trust you guys that you guys are saying the line
so
in Spanish.
So
Javier Bardem is awesome.
They're both so good in that movie. I mean, I like Scarlett Johansson because the first thing I saw her in was Lost in Translation. And I was like, oh, she's good. And then the next thing I saw her in, I was like, oh, she's exactly the same as she was in that. And then the next thing I saw her, I was like, she's always the same. No, she can do nothing different. However, I really liked Vicky Cristina Barcelona. And I really liked her in... What was the movie that she kind of kicked ass in recently? Was it
Avengers?
Yeah. I was impressed by her. I was like, she can't be like, she's so like, I don't know, like soft
girl, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
But she was...
She's got a really awesome stunt person.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. That scene with the chair was incredible. Yeah. That whole interrogation scene was so good. But anyway...
She can also do a really bad Woody Allen impersonation.
Can she?
And did you see Scoop?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I like Scoop, though. I like Hugh Jackman in that.
Hugh Jackman's great, and Woody Allen's in it. But it's weird because you have Woody Allen, and then you've got Scarlett Johansson doing a Woody Allen impersonation right next to him. That's for really half the funny. Movie.
Yeah. I dig it.
It's on a Woody Allen movie. I'm not going to knock it.
She's doing a Woody Allen. Well, yeah, because she's like
the surrogate. But it's weird having a Woody Allen surrogate when Woody Allen's in the movie.
Oh, I see.
The best Woody Allen surrogate is Kenneth Branagh. I dig him in Celebrity. He's like dead on like Woody Allen, and it's just he's British. But no, I dig both those movies, especially Midnight in Paris. I did like it.
My boyfriend and I have this joke where we make fun of Owen Wilson. He's like, oh, I just wrote this book, and I'm traveling around the city, and I really want to write more of this. And it's just like, I just thought that they could have used so much more. Yeah. They could have done so much more with that concept that they didn't do, that he didn't do, that it was disappointing more than anything for me. Especially because I heard everyone loved it so much. And that's usually when I hate a movie.
Did you see his last one, which was the one with Jesse Eisenberg?
To Rome with Love.
No, yeah. I haven't seen it.
That was interesting. There's some weird stuff going on. I didn't hate it. I never hate Woody Allen.
Yeah.
No matter what it is. Even like Everyone Says I Love You, I watched it. I didn't hate it. Just a musical. Don't like musicals. But even like the horrible ones that people like, oh, The Curse of the Jade Scorpion, I still love it.
I love The Curse of the Jade Scorpion. The problem with To Rome with Love for me was just that way it was edited. I would have rather seen, like, because they had really interesting stories, but the way they were cutting back and forth between them kind of took away from it.
It was distracting.
I would have rather have seen it like Everything You Want to Know About Sex, where it's, you see each one and then you move on.
Yeah, yeah. It was interesting. Yeah, because they intercut them instead of...
Yeah.
Sectioning them off.
Yeah, and the way they were intercut, just the time, so much time had passed, but within that story, nothing. Yeah. It's like, oh, it's like a second later. I don't know. I would have liked to have seen them in a row.
It was interesting seeing Alec Baldwin in a Woody Allen movie. It was just weird. All right, Jenny?
All right, so for my number two, the movie shouldn't make me want to go here, but it really does because I'm really big into climbing and bouldering. My number two is 127 Hours.
You do like that.
I love that. The thought of going to Utah to go climbing sounds awesome. It's beautiful. To be able to do that thing where they're like up against the walls and then they just dropped. Oh, that'd be so cool. I want to do that.
Yeah.
Well, you don't like the idea of being in the kitchen naked, so I don't think that you're going to want to drop down a crevasse.
Yeah. I don't like nature too much. I've noticed that about myself. I feel like I'm going to get stung by something, and like I'm deathly afraid of what is
your
those
toes are going to get cut off.
Ticks.
Oh yeah, forget you hate that. Ticks.
Yeah. Just
and
the thought of them.
Now you have a beard, so they're going to get
they're going to get in there, you know.
They're going to notice in weeks.
I'm no Bear Grylls.
So I get Lyme disease.
I know. So
I'm no Bear Grylls.
you love 127 Hours.
Yeah,
I feel like you've had it on a couple of lists.
I know.
Like, have I? I don't remember.
You just like
I
to
have
drop
a really
that card.
Memory.
Yeah.
I'm like, boom! I saw this movie, suckers.
But now, what if you were stuck in the rock? Would you cut your arm off, or would you just like die?
I would never get stuck in a rock.
That's what you say.
I would never go alone or not tell someone where I was going. I would always have my phone on me. Do you know me? I always have my phone on me.
He did too, but there's no signal.
He didn't have his phone on him.
No, then how did he record himself? Did he have a video recorder?
He had a video camera, dude.
He didn't have a phone?
No.
Oh, what an idiot.
This was back in the day before they had video phones.
Yeah. All right. That's a cool movie, though.
I would never go alone.
Yeah.
Or not tell someone.
You'd go with James Franco. Yeah. All right. That is number two.
Freaks and Geeks. Bringing it back.
Bringing it back.
Everyone's in that show.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I picked... I have two. One that makes me want to go, and then another movie that makes me not want to go.
What? That's like the theme for this section. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, number two, the Darjeeling Limited.
Mm.
Wes Anderson. And then...
I really like that movie.
Yeah. It basically starts, if you haven't seen it, three brothers are kind of trying to fix their relationship, and they are traveling through India. and hijinks ensue. It's Wes Anderson. What else do you need
to
say?
I hear that train is no fun.
Yeah.
In
yeah.
real life.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like bad news.
Yeah. And the movie that makes me not want to go somewhere, Slumdog Millionaire.
Yeah.
It was like a commercial for, hey, do not come to India. You know, like... we'll steal your kids.
You would hate India if you hate outside things.
Yeah. We're gonna burn their eyes out and, you know, have them panhandle. We'll torture you if you're on a game show. It's like
poop buckets.
Poop buckets. Yes. Poop buckets. That's all you have.
That's all you need.
I'm out of that country. I'm out. But yeah.
So. And they love musicals.
Yeah.
That part I like. And pretty colors.
Yeah, they, I don't know I like if they're pretty too. When you're there. I think that was more of the camera.
No, they're pretty when you're
really?
There.
Really? Have you been?
No, but my cousin just went, and she brought me back a journal and a bunch of stuff, and she took a ton of pictures. And
there's, like, good places in India.
Oh, I'm sure there is.
He's like,
don't.
No, it's all poop.
No, it's pretty brutal, but yeah, there are some nice places. Yeah. I mean, it's a major, like, place to go on holiday for the British people.
Right.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I do like Indian food, so...
Yeah. But it's super spicy when you're there. It's actually, like, crazy. Really? Yeah. Crazy spicy. My friends who are Indian who eat Indian food here are like, they can't make it spicy enough. Like,
really?
This tastes bland. Yeah.
Really?
You're like...
Yeah.
Because of the geological...
I don't know, but they don't... just don't they don't have the same species of pepper.
Yeah.
Very cool. I do dig me some Indian food. Do you?
I do.
Yeah. Yeah. Kevin, you don't like Indian food, but give us your number two.
What a weird transition.
Okay, my number two.
Kevin, you don't like Indian food. Go.
Is from 1995, and it's just about two people falling in love in Europe, and it's Before Sunrise.
Oh, you bastard.
Yeah.
I took it off my list.
I mean, just two people getting to know each other on the streets of Vienna at night. And
I have never seen
falling
those
for
movies.
Each other.
I haven't either.
Yeah,
I want to.
You're the only other
yes,
person
I know.
In the world
I've been told a million times.
Half of the people tell me it's the best, and the other half are like, this is a terrible movie, and I don't know why anyone tells you to watch it. A ton
oh, really?
Of people.
Really?
Yeah. I
Who
get
are
that
these
so,
what are their names?
A lot of times. A lot of people hate that movie.
Really?
Yeah.
You picked Before Sunrise?
Yeah.
Okay. So you picked the first one?
Yes.
All right. I won't spoil my number one. But
I'm guessing I know it's what Before it Sunset. Yeah.
Yeah. So we can talk about it now. So this one is in Austria.
Yes.
And it's Vienna. Not as cool as Paris for me, I feel.
Yeah, but I mean, at night, it looks pretty awesome.
Yeah, you're right. And you could meet a chick and
possibly. That's the important part.
Have a special time with her. Now, you saw this in video clearly because it came out a while ago. And you like this one better than the second one?
I think because I saw it first and it really set me up for those characters, I would say yes.
You guys know they're making a third one, right?
Oh, we know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I, if there was a line to wait for
right
it,
now,
I would be there, like Comic-Con style. just lonely douchebag sitting here with a sleeping bag. but yeah. So, very cool. I think we're going to keep talking about this.
Okay.
Get some number one. Adam?
Yeah. Okay. So, I'm going to change it up a bit. I don't know why, but... 2011's Jane Eyre really made me want to just go hang out on the moors.
Really?
Yeah. It's like dark and stormy and gray.
Give us a little synopsis.
I mean, it's Jane Eyre. She's a governess. She's a governess who's called to watch, what's his name's?
John?
No. Rochester. Mr. Rochester's ward and ends up falling in love with him. And then there's this whole other story where she runs away and is taken in by a priest and his family, or his sisters.
Who
and,
plays Jane Eyre?
Mia Wasikowska.
Oh, right.
But it's just gorgeous. You'd like it for the stillness if you haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it.
It's really good. The photography is amazing, because just on the moors, and they've got all the clouds, and then the green with the gray is great. But then when they're inside, they do a lot of natural, just these long, inky hallways lit by just a candle.
Ooh.
And it's gorgeous. And it's creepy. Like because I didn't know the story of Jane Eyre before I saw the movie. And the way they do it is they cut back and forth, and so they play it more like a mystery, and so it's interesting. I really liked it, but
check
it's gorgeous.
It out.
Yeah, I really
is it really is like 3 hours long?
No, it's only like two.
This is the new
one. It's exactly 2 hours
with Keira Knightley.
No,
what's the girl in it?
Mia Wasikowska.
That's right. Okay, all right.
And Michael Fassbender.
Anna Karenina. I'm thinking of Anna Karenina. All right. I haven't seen it now. It's on my list. Damn.
Yeah, there's not a lot of movies that make me want to go to Russia.
Really?
They seem to have a lot of trouble over there. Like, I like Dr. Zhivago. No, that doesn't make you want to go to Russia at all.
Argo? Well, I guess that was Iran. Never mind.
Then that also doesn't make you want to go to Iran.
No, not at all.
Question, have you ever traveled to Cuba?
I just did, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
How was that?
It was incredible.
Really?
It was really sad and really beautiful at the same time. It was like,
was that your first time?
Mm-hmm. And I'm the first generation here. My whole family's from Cuba, and my mom hadn't been back since she left. So she hadn't been back in 50 years.
Wow.
And we still have family over there. Her cousins are over there. So that's who we went to go see. And it was just bizarre. And it was really strange for me to, like, be in this weird land that I knew somehow. That, like, I felt like I belonged there. And I sounded like these people. And they sounded like my grandparents. It was just really bizarre, and everything is nothing has been painted since 1960. Nothing has been repaired. Nothing. Like, it's people are living in beautiful ruins, basically.
That's what I hear that's like, it's like a time machine back to
but it's not a time machine because it's not kept up. So it's like if Paris or you know, the French Quarter of New Orleans was this entire city and it hadn't been taken care of in 40 years. So it's like the number two cause of death, of unnatural death in Cuba, is balconies falling on people.
Really?
Or in Havana. Yeah. Wow. Because it's all colonial buildings, so they all have like an overhang and you walk, the sidewalk is underneath it. And they just fall constantly.
So were you constantly looking up?
I was afraid of it. People walking on the street because to avoid the balconies. But it's, the people are incredible, and it's a crazy experience.
How was it?
I could talk about it for like three hours. But
how was it eating the food? Like, because you had Cuban food, but Americanized Cuban food.
No, I've had Cuban food.
Well, from your family.
Yeah. No, Miami is Cuba. It's Cuba North. No, the food was disgusting.
Really?
Yeah, they export everything they grow. So we took our family. I mean, the food was really, really good when my family cooked it at their house, because they got like stuff from the local market or whatever and they made it. But any food you get at like the expensive markets or the expensive hotel restaurants, it's all imported from like China, and it's like bologna, like weird meat, and it's all like a very nice dinner of a fish, and it's a frozen fish that's gray that is like deep fried, and they give it to you, and it's like super hard to cut through. Like, it's really bad. The food there is disgusting when you don't get it. Like, there's places called they're like, people rent out rooms in their houses and then they cook for you. That's probably good, but the restaurants, not at all. The restaurants are disgusting. Fresh. Yeah, wow. I mean, nowhere near fresh.
Yeah.
Nowhere near like real. It's weird plastic food from China or whatever that, you know.
Can you relate to, like, because you have cousins over there?
Yeah.
How do you relate to that? Like, because I have problems, like, when I go, because, like, my mom has sisters in Mexico, and I would go visit when I was a teenager, but I never felt like, I was a weird, like, I don't belong here, like, I'm an outsider, like, in...
Well, were you young?
I mean, kind of, but I mean, I got sent over there every summer, because
It's hard to relate only because my life is so different than theirs. Yeah. You know, I mean, they only survive because we send them money and we send them vitamins and we buy them food and that's it. Like, I mean, the average Cuban worker, if you have a job, if you're lucky enough to have a job and you don't work for the government, you work for like a bank or like a good job, you make $11 a month. Shampoo still costs $3.
Wow.
Like, that's, and if you have a great job, like you're a doctor or a lawyer, you make $20 a month. That's it.
Wow.
So everyone from a little old grandma to a doctor, everyone steals. Everybody. And not like, they don't rob people. They steal from their job and they sell it on the side, or they like maneuver things to get extra money. It's not really like, there's no guns there. Nobody's going to really rob you. I mean, people might mug tourists or whatever, but that's not really the culture. The culture is just like, I'm going to get something cheaper from you than I would at the store because you steal it from the store that you work at and then you make money instead of that store.
Yeah, yeah.
That's basically how it works. And it's really, I mean, they're really, really poor. It's not Uganda, but
this
is a country that was in 1960, before Fidel took over, it was on par with the United States. Like,
yeah.
United States got a brand new TV. Cuba got it. Like, car, Cuba got it. It was like exactly this. It was a burgeoning, beautiful country that just got tanked. And it's really crazy to see. My mom, especially watching my mom, was like the saddest.
Yeah.
Craziest. And we went back to the house that she grew up in. And it's just like people, you know, Fidel's people are living there. And it's just really... Wow. She has the deed to the house, you know?
Really?
Like, yeah. It's really crazy.
And
she, it looks like her neighborhood's been like bombed. And she was like, this was the most beautiful neighborhood on the street. Like,
so what year did she leave?
She left when she was 12. So I think like 1963.
Oh, wow.
Around there.
So so do you have a large family over there? Or is it just a couple?
No. It's my grandmother's sister and her family.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So my mom's cousins.
Oh, okay. That's crazy.
Yeah.
How long were you there?
I was there for a week.
Oh, wow. Was that enough for you?
No, I want to go back.
Yeah.
I miss them a lot.
Really?
Yeah. I miss my family there. It was really intense and weird. Wow. The best way I can describe it, the way I always tell it to people, it's like if someone read you a book your whole life, and sometimes that book had pictures, they read you a book before you went to bed. It's like, and then you're there. Like, I'm in Hogwarts.
Wow.
This is this crazy, insane place that I've only really heard about. Then, and I'm here.
Yeah.
You know, and I've talked to these people on the phone, like, and it sounds really far away. Like, and now they're in front of me. You know, they have a picture of me from when I was little on their fridge that, you know, they got in the mail a long time ago. It's really bizarre and
crazy. Yeah, that must be the weird thing, because you know them, and because you have pictures of them as well. And your mom will tell you stories, but then, like, seeing them and, like, oh, you're meeting for the first time, like, literally, and it's, like, that's a weird
thing. But Cubans are very familial, so, like, if you're family, you're family. Like, I'm going to make fun of you within 5 minutes of meeting you. It's not awkward at all.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
It's funny because I feel like that's how it is with my family. Like the first time I brought my girlfriend over to meet my parents... Like, literally, like, 5 minutes in, I gave my girlfriend the wrong knife. God forbid I gave her the wrong knife. The whole fucking night, my dad was like, remember when you gave her the wrong knife? And so my dad's really joking and stuff, but I feel like when I would go visit Mexico, like, I was, like, the serious dude. Like, who brought this serious guy? Like,
I just don't. Joking around.
Yeah, everybody's joking around. I just don't. I don't know. I guess it's weird. I have a weird relationship when I go back that I feel like I don't relate. And, like, it feels really weird.
Yeah.
I wish I had your experience, you know.
Well, you should try.
Yeah.
To relate.
Yeah. Like, maybe it's not me, it's me.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, if you... No, not it's not about being a dick. It's like sort of, I don't know, viewing things differently. Yeah. Putting yourself in a different mindset because of the fact that, like, they're your family.
Yeah.
And they may not always be there. And something may happen. Like, just appreciating that moment that you're next to them is what I mean. Yeah, you know? Yeah. Like, I don't know.
This is interesting.
Took a serious turn this
I know, guys.
Podcast. Are we at number one?
Whoa, I think so. I think, yes.
Number one.
Right?
So you do, yes. My turn. My number two was Jane Eyre. So now you do a recap of what you had before.
Oh, recap. Okay. I think I said, what did I say? I said, hold on. Let me look at my picture of my yellow pad. I said, did I say In Bruges first?
Yes. You did.
In Bruges. And then I said Lost in Translation.
Yeah.
And then I said tie between Vicky Cristina, Barcelona, and Midnight in Paris, right?
Yeah.
And then I said Moon.
Yes.
Moon. And then my number one is going to throw you for a loop, I think, guys. I think it might. It's a movie called Troll Hunter.
And oh, it's set, nice.
Set in Norway.
I just saw that.
And it makes me want to, like, climb mountains and trees in Norway. And it is also an awesome movie, which is why I wanted to include it in my list, because I thought none of you would have it. So.
No, yeah. It was really different.
You thought right.
Yeah.
Trollhunter is on Netflix streaming if you want to check it out. It's really cool. It's kind of like a found footage thing.
Yeah.
We'll tell
us enough. It's a documentary... It's a Norwegian documentary about a guy that hunts trolls in Norway, and it's really great. That's all I'll say.
Yeah.
Is this it a real documentary?
Yeah.
Wow.
No, it's not. It's presented as one. It's never
that would be awesome.
It's never presented
like
as
a really a guy that's like I'm hunting trolls.
Yeah, but like you see the trolls, so yeah, they're not real trolls.
No, that's real.
But yeah. It's really good. You should watch it. It's really great.
I'm going to. That's what
you
doing.
You broke, but you could have. She could have been like.
I
would have
been like, no, I didn't break. You guys broke.
Yeah, no, that's true.
I didn't know if it was real or not when I saw it. That's why I wanted her to watch it without knowing.
She's like, what the hell? I'm never going to go to her.
Yeah, the description in the title is this is a documentary. It doesn't say it's a fake documentary. You know,
I like that.
It's not even, I don't think it's even listed under comedies, but it's super fun.
I'm going to trick all my friends. That's going to be hilarious.
You're like, guys,
as long as they haven't listened to this episode.
Yeah.
My friends don't listen to the podcast.
They're like, how long is it? No. There's another movie coming out called The Frankenstein Effect or something. It's very similar. They're out as a documentary, and so
here's is it American?
No.
It's, oh, okay. Yeah.
All right. Good, Jenny. Recap.
Oh yeah. Come on. Damn it. Sorry. All right. So my number five was Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. My number four was Euro Trip. Three was Sideways. Two was 127 Hours. Oh, and my number one was Midnight in Paris.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, there's my list.
All right. My number five was Y Tu Mamá También. Four was Lost in Translation. Three, The Motorcycle Diaries. Two, The Darjeeling Limited. And my number one, Before Sunset.
I did not see that coming.
What?
That is just out of left field.
It's funny, when we went to Paris, I literally, my girlfriend, I was like, figure out all the movies I filmed in Paris. We're going to visit all these places. Like, forget the Eiffel Tower. And she
that's in movies, too.
It is.
So she downloaded American Werewolf in Paris.
Yeah. She downloaded a page, and we literally tried to go to, like, every... And we would stop, and she's like, so, The Bourne Identity was filmed in this block here? And it's like, wow, you got really detailed in this list here. But Midnight in Paris, it's a sequel to... I mean, sorry. Before Sunrise is a sequel to Before Sunset is a sequel to Before Sunrise, and the next one is Before Midnight. Yeah, so they all take place 10 years
before
apart.
Before noon next.
It's all.
Well, this is the one where the vampires show up, right?
Yes,
and then after midnight.
Yeah, is when it's werewolves,
right?
Yeah, no. So there's with the new one coming out, it's three. They're all 10 years apart, and the next one is in Greece. So I'm ten. I want to see.
Just gonna be really old.
Yeah. Well, there's one called Before Happy Hour. Or
before the early version.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. What is there to say? It's awesome. It's in Paris, and they just walk through Paris.
Yes, I'll watch it.
It's not on Netflix, is it?
No.
That's my problem. No. There's no way for me to watch it.
I bet you it'll be on Netflix.
Like, you can't even just get the disc. You can't rent it.
Oh, yeah.
You should be able to.
I'll just bring them over. I didn't know you wanted them that badly.
Yes, I've been asking for years. I feel
here's my thing is I haven't bought them.
Just a couple months.
I haven't bought them because I know they're going to come out on Blu-ray. And I refuse to buy any more DVDs.
See, that's the beauty of Hollywood Video and Blockbuster going out of business. I got them both for like $2.
Ah.
Oh, should have done what you did. You don't call. So, you know.
Well, this was back in the day.
All right. So,
when was the last time you saw a Hollywood Video?
That's right.
True.
So, Kevin, what is your recap and your number one?
Okay. So, my number five was Broken Flowers. Four was Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Three was The Straight Story. Two was Before Sunrise. And my number one was Motorcycle Diaries.
Oh.
Nice. You had a good list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well done, sir. Adam?
Okay.
Drop it like it's hot.
So, my number five was French Kiss. My number four was The American. My number three was Everyone Says I Love You. My number two was Jane Eyre. And my number one is Manhattan.
Yes.
1979.
Right. Yeah.
As it should be.
You did a lot of Woody Allen.
I did. Basically, it was the Woody Allen list. He just makes you want to travel the world, but specifically to New York.
Yeah.
I feel like Woody Allen would be terrible to travel with.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
I feel like he'd be like, oh,
he's
God.
He's not very talkative with new people. And so like we have to get to know each other for a couple of years before we actually went on a trip somewhere.
Yeah.
And then he's fluent in French and I'm not. So like he could just go on and do his thing and I'd be like, I have no idea what you're saying. So there'd be a lot of prep.
You've thought about this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's also much older than I am.
Yeah.
So I feel like I got a lot to do in a short period of time before he like dies.
I just meant because he'd be complaining about everything.
Yeah.
The whole time. That's what I thought.
I don't know. I don't think he's as much like the Woody Allen character in real life.
Don't ruin it.
I don't know.
I think he is a lot
maybe
more
he
than
just complains to his stepdaughter wife.
Yeah. Did you guys by any chance see the documentary on PBS?
About
Woody
his
Allen?
Stepdaughter wife?
No, Woody Allen.
Well,
Allen.
I didn't.
Just Woody Allen. It's really good.
It's on Netflix.
Yeah,
that's it. What's it called?
Woody Allen.
Woody Allen.
A documentary.
Yeah.
Cool.
And it's like 3-4 hours long.
Really?
Yeah, because it's a two-parter.
Did he direct it?
No, actually, his movies tend to be really short. Like, if you look at the running time of his movies, they're like no
90
long.
Minutes.
Yeah, 90 minutes, like on the button.
But the documentary, it's the American Master series, and the next one that I'm excited about is the Mel Brooks one.
Oh, I love Mel Brooks. Yes. Did you guys hear that pop? I think that was me. I'm sorry.
I thought you were you had gum. I'm like,
no, I just my love for Mel Brooks popped my mouth open.
All right, so yours is Manhattan.
I think, because it's just so awesome. I mean, that opening, Manhattan in black and white with Gershwin. That's it. Also kind of makes me
I've
afraid.
I've never seen him.
You've never seen Manhattan, but you've been to New York. I've never been to New York, but I've seen Manhattan a million times, and it makes me afraid to go because I don't think it'll ever be as cool it is in black and white.
Spoiler alert, it's not really in black and white.
It's not?
It's in color when you get there.
No, is it in slow motion at least? Are they playing Gershwin everywhere?
Everywhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just headphones. You'll be fine.
Yeah. all right. Does anybody have any honorable mentions or anything that was on their list that didn't get to?
Yeah, I have one.
Throw it out.
Skyfall.
Thank you.
Yes.
That's honorable mention also. Yes.
Skyfall was beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was shot so incredibly. And they, I mean, obviously, as in most James Bond movies, they went all over the place.
Yes.
But well, there's a bunch of scenes in that are just unbelievable. I don't know. They look.
Mm-hmm. It's one of the very few James Bond movies that actually is in Britain. Like, it takes place in.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
a good
not
part.
A lot of the movies are in exotic locations. Yeah.
Well, the stuff in Scotland.
That was in Scotland or Ireland?
Scotland.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was amazingly shot stuff.
The stuff in Shanghai was awesome, too. Yeah.
And then the stuff in, whatchamacallit, the casino, that was all Pinewood.
Oh, is it?
What's Pinewood?
Pinewood Studios. It's related to, like, Star Wars and Alien. And it's a studio in London, like Monty Python. Yeah. But yeah, what was the name of the place where they go to the casino? That country.
Monte Carlo?
No.
No.
I don't remember.
I don't remember. The casino is in Shanghai.
No,
it's
not.
It's in China.
Yeah.
But it's not in Shanghai. It's somewhere else.
It's like on an island.
Oh, yeah. You guys take a little canoe. Somebody rows you there.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah.
Awesome. Oh, yeah. Gorgeous.
We may leave that in there just to intrigue people. They're like, did they die?
Happened.
Jenny, do you have any honorable mentions?
Mission Impossible. Three? Ghost Protocol.
Oh,
the Dubai. Yeah. Parts.
Oh, yeah.
I really want to go to Dubai.
That
really
does
bad.
Make Dubai look
I hear
cool.
It's just like one little town that's insane and
yes.
in the desert and nothing else. Yeah.
Exactly.
Your dad's flown there. What did he say about it? Your dad's been there.
I don't talk to my dad. I'm just kidding. I think he likes Dubai. Yeah, sure.
You think?
I think he likes it. He's
likes
never had anything negative to
really
say about it.
The,
I feel like I would hear that.
Yeah. The indoor skiing that you can do there.
Yeah.
I feel like it's just like a cruise ship on land.
Yeah.
That's what it seems like.
I just want to go to that really tall building.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the only thing you go to. Like,
you
you're
go
like,
to the tall building.
Here's a building, and Mission Impossible shot here, and then they're like, okay. And they're
Tom Cruise really did those stunts.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he does most of his stunts, but that's crazy. That was insane.
That's
Boy,
they
crazy.
Literally like
yeah.
they're like
that's
they
awesome.
Took a window out of the building to do that stunt. What's so crazy is I saw it in IMAX, and it's the only movie where I like held my seat. Like I'm like I don't want to fall out of my seat.
Yeah,
it was really scary.
Yeah,
wow.
It was really creepy.
It was creepy.
Could have been because I was inebriated, but maybe not.
I was sober, and it was equally scary for me.
Yeah. all right. Here are some of my honorable mentions, and then some of the ones that made me not want to travel. So. Paris, France, Amelie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not so good for traveling. Dirty Pretty Things. Because they'll take your organs.
That's only if you're a refugee.
Yeah.
Okay. Vacations also on my list. In Bruges, which we mentioned. American Werewolf in London. Not want to travel. Don't want to turn into a werewolf.
Well, just don't walk on the moors at night.
Hostel.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Don't want to get kidnapped. And then my last one. Euro Dreams of Sushi documentary.
Makes you want to go to Japan.
Yeah,
amazing. Yes.
I was going to put that on my list.
I always, like,
but then I
certain people like I follow on Twitter now, like, I'm like, damn you, Hugh Jackman, going to my sushi place. And he's like, going back again, LOL. I'm like, no, twice in a lifetime? What the hell's going on? But I do definitely want to visit this place.
Well, you know a pilot.
Huh? Who? Jenny's dad is a pilot. And Kevin?
Roman Holiday.
I just watched that.
Love that movie. And Up in the Air.
Mm. Very cool. Yeah.
Got a bunch. So Summertime, David Lean directing Catherine Hepburn in Venice. Forget Paris, because Billy Crystal joking around about Paris is just funny. Into the Wild makes me want to go on a road trip.
Yeah.
Minus the dying.
Yeah.
Minus the berries.
The Spanish Apartment and its sequel, Russian Dolls. The Spanish Apartment's mostly in Spain, but Russian Dolls, it's like the same people after they've moved out of this apartment. They live together in Spain, and like it's in Russia, and it's in France, and it's in England, and it's fun. They were both on Netflix Instant for a while. I don't know if they still are. I think... Oh, an American in Paris.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
And is it weird that Let the Right One In kind of makes me want to go to Sweden?
No.
Yeah.
No.
No,
it's beautiful.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
All they the make snow. It. Yeah, it's so pretty.
Yeah.
That shot really well. That's really yeah. well shot movie.
Yeah. How to Steal a Million is in Paris, too. I was just thinking about that when you were talking about Paris movies.
There's something about Paris.
And Roman Holiday. Yeah.
Very cool. Well, let's wrap this up. Where can people stalk you if they want to stalk you? Your Twitter.
Twitter, at Natalie Morales. Aha, yes. I got it first.
Yes.
I also have a Tumblr, nataliemorales.tumblr.com.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Stalk you there.
Don't go anywhere else looking for me.
Well, they can find you on Wikipedia.
No,
find out that...
but why? So scary.
Isn't that creepy? That
it is creepy. How do you know these things about me?
But I feel like that's kind of a sign like, hey, I've arrived. Someone took the time to make a wiki page, you know?
I mean, yeah, it's nice, but who? I want to know who. Yeah.
I think you can't you find out. Doesn't that's it tell scary. You who edited the page?
Yeah, but you can make a fake name, like Mr. Peacock.
It might have been someone really awesome. It probably was. I don't have shitty fans.
Yeah. But no, it's nothing but nice things. There's nothing like, you know.
Yeah, but I do horrible. Get like, sometimes I get like, I don't know, like older men. That are
really
that write to me and they're a little odd.
Write to you how
like I just got this I mean it's nice I guess I don't know I just got this tweet the other day from some guy some older I'm not gonna say his name so as to not embarrass him but
yeah.
He's an older dude just yeah you can see that picture he looks about 65 maybe something like that right someone's dad most likely
probably, his running's probably Ronald
yeah. Natalie, you're just so nice and cool on TV and so dreamy, really foxy. Have the best week, Ron in Baltimore. Which is a nice tweet.
Yeah.
But also
creepy.
Why?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Feel like that
or
guy
maybe like also older people sometimes don't know Twitter etiquette.
Yeah.
And they don't they think like okay. That's normal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder what he was watching and also like what was he doing? Like was he at home and he's like, oh man. That was really cool. She's kind of good looking. No, she is good looking. Wait a minute.
She's
this is going
really
on.
Foxy. I'm
she's really foxy.
That.
Like his the thought process.
Do you think Ron is going to listen to this and hate me? No, that's terrible.
No.
I hope you don't, Ron. I mean, yeah. I'm not judging
sweet.
You.
It was sweet.
I just have to be cautious.
It was more about like how you take that. Because also, like, you can't put tone into a tweet, didn't
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
It could have been really sweet. Like, oh, you know, it could have been... And you only have so many characters. Could have been like, oh, the wife and I were watching you. And,
yeah.
You know?
The fact that he signed it with his whole name and where he's from. Like, it's a radio show.
Yeah.
Ron in Baltimore here. Long time listener.
First time caller. First time tweeter.
Yeah.
But yeah. And so what's your experience like on Twitter?
Very good, actually. I've never really been harassed in any way. And when I am, I just block the people.
Yeah.
I mock them and then I block them.
Yeah.
Mock and block.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the tweet equivalent of a drive-by.
Yeah.
And then it's like you did a drive-by and then you pull up the window.
Mm. I feel generally people
how many drive-bys have you done?
Well.
And why is your window a roll-up?
Yeah, why did
you? I don't know why.
I only did drive-bys in 1982.
Yeah. It's pre-electric windows, guys.
Yeah.
All right. So now at Natalie Morales.
Yes.
We're at the film podcast. Oh, man. I got it right,
you
guys.
You got it.
My Twitter is at Ricardo, ULTRERES.
I'm at Janae, JEHNEIGH.
I'm at Ann Adam Scott, AN_AdamScott.
And I'm at Kay Zuberbier, that's ZUBERBIER.
Sometimes you send some fucking really sad tweets, dude. Where like I'm like, should I call Kevin and see if he's okay?
The one that I just did was the Lincoln quote.
Yeah, no. I'm not talking about right now. I'm just talking.
And
in
then
the
I
past.
Haven't tweeted for like 2 or 3 weeks.
Well, I'm not saying recently, but sometimes
it's
you worry. Me,
it
dude.
Worries us when you don't tweet for 2 or 3 weeks.
Okay. Yes. Gotcha.
That's
you're like,
the thing.
Is he alive? Should I go check up on him?
Wait a minute. I haven't tweeted in like a month and a half.
I thought you were dead.
Oh.
So yeah, follow us on Twitter and all that stuff. Go to our link. On our website, and if you're going to shop on Amazon, do it through our link. Come on. It'll rain shekels on us if you do that. So go ahead and do that.
It'll rain what?
Shekels.
Oh.
Okay.
Have you ever dealt with shekels?
No. It's, I mean, like money?
It's yeah. A bit
more painful. I've dealt with money.
Yeah. Well, it's, shekels is the type of
currency.
I
thought you said checkers, and I didn't know what you meant.
Shekels.
I got it.
Yeah.
Rubies.
Rubies. Yeah. That could be a currency as well.
Again, that
no, rubies sounds... is a currency.
Yeah. But I feel like the transfer rate isn't as good as shekels.
It's not.
Yeah, so.
Shekels.
Shekels are actually worth more since no one really uses them.
Yeah. I have a couple shekels they're I ancient. Have right here. Yeah. I literally have shekels. So, and then follow Adam's blog. Which is at not at all.
I mean, well, you can follow on Twitter. On Twitter, it's shooting at Shooting Script. There's no the.
Really?
Yeah. It was someone too long. It? No, it was too.
Someone took it.
It was too too many characters.
Natalie, the original Natalie Morales.
Yeah, Natalie took it.
The other Adam Scott took it.
He did.
All right.
The golfer, not the one on Parks and Rec.
God, so there's three of you.
There's way more than three of us.
Jeez.
There's Adam Scott, the serial killer, too. Like, that goes really dark.
Did he, but he had a middle name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
It was Adam Lee Scott or something. Yeah. No, your website is
www.shootingthescript.com.
Shootingthescript.com. There you go. Follow us there. Follow everybody. All right. Until next time, have a good week.
Bye.